This is PFW in Progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Chuck, I had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
You mean your sandwich? I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in Progress.
Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. It is Wednesday, July 20th, 2007. And it is in the middle of the dog days of pre-training camp here at Gillette Stadium. Raining out, dreary, but it's going to get better this week. And Friday is the PFW party.
Woohoo!
We're going to have that.
Swordfish by the pool.
Yep.
So, very excited.
Very excited Glory! About that. Gary can't go.
Very Gary, excited.
Gary, did you get out of your wedding yet?
I cannot, sorry.
Was this like your girlfriend's friend's wedding? You can't get out of it?
No, it's a friend of mine.
Friend of yours?
Next topic.
Male or female?
Female. We covered this last week.
I can't believe this. Anyway, it's Andy, Tom, Paul, Fred, Gary in the booth here until 2 o'clock. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. And
do we need to make an announcement before we start?
That none of us kicked or punted
right.
at the Division
There'll
One
no
level.
There'll be no valuable football analysis on this program from here on out because Eric's not here to bestow
isn't
his
Isn't Eric lucky that he wasn't here last week? Because if you were,
he called you
would have made it out alive.
A glorified high school football player, I believe were his words.
That's what he
Which
did.
Puts me
that
about
doesn't
600
count.
Slots ahead of a kicker.
The football that you played doesn't count. That was
right.
the quote.
Right. He played Division I.
Yeah, but in the office, he said you were a glorified high school football player.
And I've expressed this with the guys, and so I'll share it with our listeners. I agree with him that anybody can play Division III football. If you have played any football and want to play, you can find a place to play. No question. But where I'd argue is, I don't think he played football. He was a kicker.
Right.
He didn't play football. Football involves a few things, you know, blocking, tackling, actually making contact with another human being. He kicked the ball. I think you could take a 12, 13, 14-year-old with any ounce of athletic ability in the world, show him how to kick, and he could play Division I AA football.
So all
kicker.
That fuss you made about when the Patriots got rid of Vinatieri, you really shouldn't have because he's really not a football player.
But you still need a good kicker to win in the NFL.
Oh, what about other levels of football?
You don't really need a good kicker to win.
Okay.
You can win at most levels.
I don't know. I saw quite a few college games that could have used a good kicker this year.
Most good college football teams, it doesn't come down to the field goal. They're blowing people out.
Plus, they got rid of that program, so how good could it have been?
And plus, when they need a kicker, you know what they do? The football coach calls the soccer coach and goes, do you have anybody who can kick a ball? They bring him over. Or they call the cheering section in the end zone with the idiot with a big BC Eagle on
his chest.
Bring him on the field, and he kicks game-winning field goals.
You know the Deion Sanders game against Clemson where he returns the punt for Florida State that they always show? In that game, they talk about how Clemson, they had no kicker, so they put out an ad in the school newspaper.
Right.
Some guy answered it, and he was their kicker that week. And they were ranked like third in the country. So there you go.
Fred, you can always get a guard. Well, you don't even need a kicker.
Plus, I would argue for you, Fred, that I think that kickers are important. I just don't think they're really football players.
Long range shot by 12 and oh!
I think they're only important at the NFL.
Eric's an Italian who's not here to defend himself.
See, I disagree with that. I think they're important at all levels. I just don't think they're football players.
I'll win without a kicker at any level except the NFL.
Ask Bobby Bowden.
Just like a trainer is important, but they're not a football player.
That's true.
Right? I would say they're not even athletes in terms of kickers.
Trainer?
As I said to Paul, I know how they work at all levels. You see it in high school, you see it in college, and you see it in the pros. They go off on a separate field by themselves, shoot the crap together, and at the end of the practice, they blow a whistle and call them over to make three
would
kicks.
Would you be in favor of eliminating the field goal from football?
I actually would, Fred.
I certainly would.
I would.
I would have to give it more
still
thought.
Still keep the goalpost there and move them back to the goal line.
I would.
I would be in favor of getting rid of playing for the field goal, which a lot of teams
right.
do, including the Patriots and the Colts.
How about if maybe they messed with the scoring system somehow and
like you're
open
4 points for a long one?
Or if it's less than 30 yards, only 2 points.
You get minus two.
Basically, no one would ever kick field goals.
Thank God he missed that one.
It would add to the excitement, especially in the gambling world. Can you imagine that? Oh, man, they're going
taking
for
points
it.
Off, literally taking points off.
I had the over-under, and they went and kicked a field goal.
All right. Well,
yeah,
well so
you know, Andy feels better now. He cannot stand when he's not here to get out his little quirky comments.
You know, it was bothering him all
week.
Yeah.
Well,
so
actually, it wasn't until I got back. He feels better now.
No, I'm talking about since you've been back.
Oh, okay. Because
look at him.
When initially,
it's like he just gave birth.
Tom emailed me and told me about the show. I thought you were just trying to get me riled up. I thought it was all a big joke.
I was.
And then I said it to Paul, and he goes, "No. He wasn't kidding."
No, I sent the follow up email with some more things that he said about you.
Unbelievable.
It wasn't me that said it.
Unbelievable.
Wasn't the listeners.
I mean, the guy, look at him. He looks like a jockey.
What a goal by Shaury Joseph!
He weighs 110 pounds.
So he'll be gone. Eric won't be around the next 2 weeks because, as you said last week, Fred, he's in Italy.
He's in Italy.
He worked here for a half a year and has more vacation than God.
I'm wondering how he has those vacation days, but that's me.
He has 10 days.
Yeah, what about all the other days he's taken off?
Well, I got to talk to him about that.
Oh, okay.
A couple weeks ago, according to him, he still has two left.
I actually got an email from HR the other day.
In April, it was like he only worked Monday and Tuesday of every week, and then he took the rest of the week off.
Yeah,
and he still has two left, according to his computer.
Jeez. So I got to talk to him about that. So
people taking advantage of the system, Fred.
Yep. You can't do that.
No.
Screw
it. Because then it screws up for everybody, right?
Yep.
Right, and that's why I'm bringing it up, because I've had it very, very nicely for the last 9 years.
And let's be honest, Fred's pretty generous when it comes to vacation days. So
we don't need the new guy upsetting the apple cart here.
We'll take him out.
I've had a pretty good time of it over here now.
We'll take him out back and teach him a lesson or two.
Okay.
We'll have Tom do that.
All right.
Seriously, we could set that up for the show. We'll get some pads and a helmet, and we'll just line up and bang into each other and
all
see
right.
who's left standing.
So you're gonna have a boxing match with Chris Ferreira.
Right.
No, I'm not allowed to have the boxing match.
Now you're
going
to go beat up Eric Scalavino.
Are you going to poo-poo this one, too?
Plus, you can't have the boxing match with Chris now because...
Fred won't let us.
Well, Chris's wife's not even going to be there. He's going to have his son.
That's true.
You can't beat the pulp out of a kid in front of his son.
Are you
going to
take his wife afterwards?
No, he can't box. He can't box because his wife, she gave him a second round TKO the other night. So he's not a commission.
No, but at least he punched
him. But if his
wife. Did his wife punch him?
Oh, she beats him.
Really?
Yeah, there's no question about that.
With a bare hand, he'll take a fight.
Just so you know, you're just going to add another to the long list of people in this building who hate us. But that's beside the point.
There will be no fighting at my party. I don't have
that kind of insurance. Well, at least if his wife was there to, you know,
so who's coming?
To take his son.
What?
You
who's
can't
coming?
Beat up the guy in front of
a
his
lot
son,
of people.
Though.
It's like
we're
50,
not the mob.
Literally 50 people going to be there.
Like 50. What groups? I need to know.
Well, the only people outside of us are Stacey James is coming with his family.
Okay.
But name the most powerful the person other than you who's going to be there.
Good, we're safe.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
You're the most powerful
So I can wear any kind of shirt I want?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Moose jersey?
Get ready to see a Cowboys jersey. Yeah. Emmett.
Should I wear my Moose jersey?
Talking about just being... able to be comfortable without these big wigs.
No crafts coming?
No. There'll be some people from e-commerce down upcoming. Coogan's will
Flanders?
Be coming. He's an annual.
Flanders coming?
I didn't invite him. I invite him every year.
Yeah,
he never
him.
Comes, so I didn't invite him.
Should we call him and ask him?
If you want to, but he never comes.
I don't need him there.
You know what? I always invite him to my parties, too, and he never comes.
At Gillette Stadium.
Yeah. And he lives,
and he lives near me.
Yeah. I mean, I can see B.
He's a little hoity-toity. He's a step above you in the social circles.
Well, he shouldn't be.
I just think it's hard for him. If it's not facing north, he can't really see where he's going.
And the list just keeps on getting bigger.
Yep, it's just us. It's amazing when we go out on the road, no one else invites us. It's just us.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to give Matt Smith such a hard time this year on the road.
What are you doing?
What?
No, you're further expanding. Everybody hates us, Red.
I say good,
I like
Fred.
It that way.
Yeah.
I like it. We're an island
it's
unto ourselves.
It's good to be loved, but it's great to be hated. Let
That's
him
right.
hate us.
I
saw him the other day, Matt Smith, speaking to him, and I got to the bottom of the sock issue. Evidently, it's no socks with long pants, socks with shorts.
That makes a lot of freaking sense.
That does make no sense.
I didn't say anything about it making sense.
Well, I noticed a lot of guys in TV do that. Mike Lynch from Channel 5. He
always.
Does the
Lynch
same
does
thing.
It, yeah.
Mike Lynch just, always does
but
it.
But those two work
Why?
Together. Maybe
it's
they
not
it
sanitary.
No, I hate it.
You have some nice Italian leather shoes, and then you don't wear socks. You're going to sweat up the shoes.
That's why you wear your socks even when you have sandals on.
That's right. It's It's
how many people do you think are listening?
Look, I know it looks goofy. I'm not saying it doesn't look goofy, but it's comfortable.
We haven't mentioned the word Patriots
and it's cleaner.
Yet.
And it's cleaner, okay?
Here's where Tom's going to get really
mad
now.
You guys want to move on to my wedding? We can start talking about
well, we know that idiot's listening who thinks that Randy Moss really punched somebody.
No,
in
he
the
thinks
media.
That you said that. Really? That you
well,
really?
Maybe I did,
that
but
really
I didn't mean it.
It.
I was joking around.
No, you meant
it. Obvious.
You meant
Andy,
it.
Andy, how come
of
the thousands of people who listen to this show, one person emailed in,
right.
And everyone else just thought it was a joke?
He probably thought Tom Brady was really on the Brady Bunch when they did all those stupid TV things when Brady first.
Well,
came
if
the
you
start.
Said it, that's what the media does. They start things, and that's how you did it.
All right, let's move on to some Patriots stuff.
What do you got?
What do you got?
We don't have a lot.
You know how busy I've been.
Yeah, you're not even here anymore.
And the only time
well,
I get
they signed those two defensive linemen, you know, Rashard Moore and Kenny Smith, both good players in college, but haven't really done anything in the NFL. Probably just training camp fodder, like Eddie Freeman last year.
Right,
I'd be
emergency
shocked
guys.
If either one made the squad, so that's kind of the news.
Well, the big news, well, the big rumor is the supplemental draft. They might get Oliver Twist for a draft pick. What's going
Paul
on
Oliver.
Here?
It's Paul Oliver. Now, they can use their third-round pick that they got from Oakland, which I think would be a mistake, and I'll tell you why. I think that's good ammunition next year to have that early third if you want to trade around. Because
right.
If you look at next year's draft, and it's hard to do this. I hate when people do it, but if the juniors come out, you're looking at a much different kind of draft than we had this year. You're looking at guys that teams are really going to want. So I think they have a
so
lot more
So there's a junior crop.
Yeah.
Who are sophomores last year that will be
right.
juniors that
well,
you're,
like the guys
and you're projecting
USC.
And I, that will have a higher value than the juniors that came out in 07.
Yes, and I don't want to mention the word, but a lot of them are linebackers. Just to throw doesn't it
mean
out
anything
that's
like
Patriots. No, but no, but for your purposes, Tom, they might be you're talking about stockpiling some third round picks. Okay, I think we've all given up on them, you know, making a huge splash in the top 20 for the linebacker, but maybe, you know, late first
yeah,
day or
yeah,
early second
yeah,
day, who knows?
Yeah. So just, from what you've heard, Paul Oliver really isn't
I
worth
would,
that?
I would not a third rounder in the supplemental draft. I would go maybe a fifth rounder in that area. I don't think the Patriots would go that high.
And why is he getting so much attention? You know,
well,
that's
the best,
one name that
he's the best. He's the best of the lot. This happens
clearly,
every year.
Every year, yes.
There's one guy,
was Ahmad Brooks.
There's always three or four guys that are eligible in the supplemental draft at least, and one of them is clearly the best player. And by all reports, this guy, if he wanted to stay for his fifth year at Georgia, was academically ineligible. Most of the reports say that if he played his last year at Georgia, he probably would have been a first-day pick next
year. So if he was academically,
that's why people are saying third round.
If he was academically ineligible for a fifth year at Georgia, why didn't he just enter the draft?
He didn't know that.
Well, he had already decided to stay. Then he was the question is, why wasn't he made aware that you're probably going to be academically ineligible? You would have thought somebody would have advised him
right.
to that.
Coach.
And the other thing I should say is just looking quickly before we came on the show at some of the draft lists that are coming out, there's a lot of big-time corners coming too. So I don't know if you want to use that early third right now on a guy who's coming out.
Well, he's a corner.
Yeah, he's a good player, but I hate the supplemental draft
right.
thing. I just,
well,
just
in case the listeners don't know.
I think other than Holland,
it's not all for you.
But we have
you narcissistic, selfish
Fred. We have talked about this guy on the show for the last couple of weeks. It's
and,
not you know, just because
you
you're just learning
listening.
About him now.
You never know who's listening.
Oh, I know.
I have a pretty good idea right now.
Yeah. Other than Tony Hollings that went higher than I thought he would, usually the media jumps up about a round or two where they project someone to go. I just find it hard to believe he's going to go early third from the Patriots. Maybe they will. Maybe they really like him and they were looking at him for next year. I don't know their whole scouting system. But just based on pure guessing, I would say no.
Well, that's the thing. Most teams, I know he's working out today and everybody's going to be there, mm-hmm. but most teams probably have their evaluation pretty much set on him, because if he was considering coming out, he was clearly on their radar
right.
over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So regardless of, I mean, you go today to make sure he hasn't pulled a Gary Russell and suddenly runs a 5.240. If he's doing what he's, you know, basically done in the past, your book is set. You know what you think he is in terms of value, and then it's just a guessing game. That other team wants him, how high are they
and
willing to go?
Don't you think it's something like how they traded this year? Like, they think next year's first-rounder from San Francisco holds more value than
right.
the guy they were going to take, whoever it was. Now they have to look and say, is that third-round draft pick next year, is there going to be more value
right.
there than Paul Oliver? So that's something
and
Pioli and Belichick have to figure out.
I don't think they get backed into a corner saying, well, Samuel's not here. We should draft this guy just because he's a corner.
Absolutely not.
I think they
Absolutely
could care
not.
Less. They're looking big picture.
This
is he going
to
start
to do
for
with
me
Asante Samuel.
In 2 years
I
or whatever?
I agree. It will have nothing to do with Asante Samuel.
Where did Brooks go last year? When did the Bengals pick him?
wasn't it round 5 or 6? It was late.
Because I've been, they're like raving about him.
They love him. They do. So they love him.
He would be the most
notable. Give
it a month.
But he would be the most notable recent one that actually could, like, they're saying he's going to be a starter. They think he's going to be really good.
Was the fourth round? I think they took him in the fourth.
I just generally assume no one's going to use much ahead of a fourth on anybody anymore.
I just, if you look at the history of the supplemental draft, what have you gotten out of it? It's just that early third, because look who we're talking about here.
Third round.
The Oakland Raiders.
They did.
The Oakland Raiders have a new coach who's 30 years old. They have a rookie quarterback.
No chance.
What are the chances they're not picking in the top five next year at each round? So you're talking about almost a second-round pick here, a late second-round pick. I think that's way too much to give up for a guy like this.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a third-round pick in the supplemental draft last year.
So,
speaking of Asante Samuel, what's the latest?
Nothing good.
No?
Well, the July 15th thing is the date that's around the corner to negotiate a long-term deal. If not, all he can do is sign the tender.
And Andy and I watched that AFC Championship game over, and we weren't together. We watched it separately. We both had the same opinion. He might have been the best player on the field that day. His performance overall in that game on Harrison, and I hate this whole thing, well, he had 10 interceptions, he's not going to do that again. Well, he may not, but I'll tell you what, he covered Harrison like a blanket in that game and totally took him away.
And the thing about that position is it's so much about confidence. Mm-hmm. And once you build yourself up to a season like he had, that's kind of the hurdle that you have to make as a cornerback. Now, he may not have 10 interception season next year, but he'll play with the type of confidence that you need a top cornerback to play
in
with.
In that game, it wasn't – I mean, obviously he had the pick, but it wasn't the picks. It was running stride for stride with Harrison everywhere he went, knocking the ball down 10 yards downfield, knocking the ball down 30 yards downfield. He was in his back pocket.
And Phil Simms made the comment, which I kind of agree with from last year from watching him develop, is that he knew what plays were coming.
Right.
I think he did a lot of film work study last year, and he just seems to know what's coming when. And he's not Champ Bailey. I don't think any of us think he's Champ Bailey, but he's a very, very good player. And for people who think that Ellis Hobbs is just going to slide in there and take over and they're not going to miss Samuel, that's a little unrealistic.
And the one question I would say is, he did look like he knew what was coming. Everything Harrison did,
he was waiting for it.
That would go to the camp if you, in the belief that maybe he worked harder than he's ever worked last year, watched more film, did more.
That would be my only fear with him.
And
is that
there's no way to know. You have to, as a team, say, I don't think that's the case. I have a feeling. I feel good about the guy.
Well, they know. They know what he did last year.
Right, but you don't know.
You don't know what he did.
Other field.
But you don't know what he did away from here. Is my point.
No,
I'm sure
they know what he did in the film.
I'm sure he's in
the time he spent here.
Yeah. Right, but what did he do in terms of his playbook? What did he do on his own?
Yeah. Do we know he's taking DVDs home every night and watching stuff?
Well, they would know that.
No, I know.
Right,
but
they know. We don't.
Right,
we don't.
We don't know. I mean, that's clearly important. That's the kind of thing that, if you're talented, takes you from good cornerback to elite cornerback.
And it seems to me they're really not interested in giving him the kind of money he wants. So that tells me that they don't really care if they lose him. I mean, I'm sure they care, and I don't want to say they don't care, but they're not in that situation where they're saying, we have to do something with this guy.
So maybe they think he was in a contract push and worked hard and all downhill from there when
we'll
you hand him the big bucks.
It really is.
And that
the
was
only
a maybe for
thing.
That idiot who doesn't listen. It was a maybe.
When you think about, negatives, it's, and we talked about linebacker depth, but really it's the only thing within their control kind of right now that's kind of hanging over them. That's a negative going into this.
I would say
everything else is like
I would
amazing.
Say there's two things, him and Teddy Bruschi, because another thing, watch that AFC Championship game, we need to apologize to Eric Alexander. Well, he may not have had as great a game as his 11 tackles, say. He didn't have as bad a game as we had originally thought, because the Colts were going after Teddy Bruschi. They weren't going after Eric Alexander. They ran at Bruschi, and they threw at Bruschi, and specifically running. They ran right at him, and that guard ate him up all game long. And I saw in minicamp, I saw an even slower Teddy Bruschi, I thought, than from last year, and that could be a concern, because if teams can throw over the middle on the Patriots quickly with those short passes like the Jets like to run, that could offset some of that Thomas and Colvin 10 sacks each that I'm predicting.
Colvin.
By the way, I'm really hoping that Ted Ginn is something special, because I don't like the sounds of that bet.
Well, I mean, let's assume that Bruschi's your starting linebacker, and that is the case, that teams won't have the time to go long. They're going to be dumping it off short. How important is the role of a guy like Rodney Harrison moving up and, in playing the run or the short pass.
Well, it is.
Yeah,
big,
but the more you're worried about covering somebody else's butt, you're not worried about just making plays.
And one thing I'm thinking is maybe they put Thomas inside on passing downs, but then you're losing his pass rush on the outside. So Manning's sitting back there, and as good as a Dallas Thomas is, you give Manning time, he's going to find guys who are open. So I think it's a double-edged sword.
Well, I just
there.
Assume they'll move those guys around on any given play. Yeah, they'll
be
all over.
All I'm saying is watch for Bruschi early on in the year to see how he is in coverage, because the Colts, they really went after him in that second half, and it was at Teddy Bruschi.
Okay. That was the other part that, you know, in talking about that game in particular, too. You know, I think everybody automatically assumes they're going to have this monster pass rush this year because they've added Thomas. And I don't necessarily think the pass rush, I'm not talking about sacks per se, but I thought the pass rush, especially in that game, was pretty good. Manning just made some throws when he was getting
off
killed.
His back foot a lot.
I mean, he didn't have a lot of time to get comfortable in that game, even on the last drive. I thought that he just made some throws. Now, you can say that it's cause and effect. Was it because Manning was making these great throws or because it wasn't taking very long for the guys to get open? And despite the fact that he had pretty good pressure on him, there were the receivers that were made available quickly, and he got open, and he got the ball to him.
That being the case, you got to imagine if they were that close to him with the personnel they had this year, you add a guy like Thomas in there, and it's that much better. No?
I mean, I think Thomas will make them better, yes, but I don't think that leads to any difference. I mean, like I said, I thought they had immediate pressure on Manning throughout that second half, and yet Manning was still completing
and
passes.
That throw to Clark on the sidelines, as nice a throw as you'll ever see in the NFL, because he had about 2 seconds to get that off, and it was perfect, and the pressure was there, like you said. On a play like that, there's nothing you can do, because you can't ask Eric Alexander to cover Dallas Clark, just like you can't ask any other middle linebacker in professional football to cover Dallas Clark 30 yards down the field. That was a perfect throw, and some of those plays, they're just going to happen, because they're just the perfect plays.
Are you talking about the late one? The one on the last drive? I think it was Fletcher, but it's same,
Fletcher.
Same point.
The Fletcher, yeah.
Same point made. I agree 1,000% with Tom. I think sometimes the other team, you know, is good too, and they make some plays. Now, I think you're right, Fred. I think Thomas should help that, and maybe even on a couple of those occasions that you just miss getting sacks, maybe you get a sack or two here or there, and that's the difference between forcing a punt as opposed to staying on the field for an 11, 12, 14 play drive.
All right.
In a couple of weeks, we'll have Eric analyze the game, so we really know what happened.
See how Badakari made those kicks.
We'll find out if the kicks were actually good or not, because we just were going off by what the referee told us.
I had the audacity to believe the guys were the upright.
Wow.
He was sitting from the side.
Sitting at a 15-degree angle 50 yards away.
Welcome back, Eric.
He's been doing it for years.
You know, God forbid anyone comes on here and espouses any type of expertise in anything.
An expertise? Do you mean having Garrett Mills play linebacker? Is that the expertise?
I was a little bit baffled by that, but, you know. Okay. What else? We covered Asante Samuel. We covered Oliver Twist.
He baffled anything, Fred. There you go.
Hey, I'll throw one thing in there. We were talking about Bruschi a little bit, Fred. His book that
I
he
saw
worked
that on
on
your desk today.
Worked on with Michael Hawley. It's not out yet. It's I don't know what they call it.
Paul gets the advance.
Yeah, Paul's got
well, Andy got
unedited
one
galleys.
I didn't get one.
They call it. You got an advance copy?
I didn't get one.
What did I tell you yesterday?
I didn't get one, Fred.
You didn't get one, Tom?
I told Andy yesterday.
How did they get on that list?
I actually got one because I was down in Stacy's office. He had a pile of them on the floor. And he said, sure, go ahead and take one. Then I got one mailed to me yesterday, which I gave to Andy. I said, you can let Tom know that you have this because he'll be all pissy that he doesn't have one.
Andy, I also found out from Paul last week that Sports Illustrated sends him all the articles that are going to be published before they're published.
Patriots related.
He's kind of a big deal.
Patriots related information, not
Patriots
all
related.
The articles.
No.
Anything that's Patriots related, I get in my email.
And now you approve them? How does that work?
No, that's your job.
That's bearish.
How does that work?
Yes. This place has really changed since I started working here. Paul, he's like off in another world now. He's got all this money. He's buying lunch
every day.
He just shelled out $50 because he was hungry.
I haven't seen Fred in 3 months. I don't see him in the office. I don't know where he is. I don't hear his witty little comments anymore.
Which, by the way, it's
around.
About 800 degrees in here. What's going on?
I don't know.
I am sweating.
Okay.
I could break my record for Pepsis today.
You maybe prop open that
Sierra
back door
Mist.
Or something.
These aren't bad. Sierra Mist? It's not a bad little soda.
Okay.
I like
anyway,
that.
The Bruschi book, Fred.
The Bruschi
book. I think the Patriots fans, you know, predictably, I think they will really like it. It's an enjoyable read. You know, I'm about.
Just walk into his office in the afternoon.
Yeah, I'm about,
I walked into his office yesterday. He's got a Pepsi in one hand, a book in the other, and he's sitting back reading.
I'm about two thirds of the way through. I have a couple of chapters left to finish up. Basically, he goes into The bulk of the work, in my opinion, is how the decision that he and his wife came to make to actually come back and play, and everything that went into that. There's a lot of detail in it, and I think Patriots fans will like it. It's
called Teddy Bruschi, My Life, My Stroke, What? My Family? What is it called?
I
really don't know.
It is.
But I'm,
it is.
I think stroke is in the subtitle about coming back from.
Yeah, but I don't think it's my stroke, is it?
I don't think so. But the best part of the book, Paul told me, is Mike Vrabel making fun of him when he came back, calling his heart a Swiss cheese heart.
Swiss cheese heart.
Saying when they go golfing, he's got to give him a couple strokes.
Don't worry, Teddy. I'll give you a couple of strokes. And evidently that led to some
Bruschi
bad
really
blood between
that.
Bruschi and
really?
Vrabel.
Yeah, now they're not friends anymore.
And I'm not saying anything out of turn here. It's in the book.
And you guys had predicted that last year.
Right.
Paul and Andy had said
so
notice.
So Teddy's something. that sensitive to the issue.
Well, I guess he had...
What'd you say? He's that sensitive?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it was a little too early.
He almost died.
He almost died, and it sounds like Vrabel was like
and
the first
was,
day back making fun of him.
And that was part of the thing.
I'm the kind of guy that if somebody did it to me, I'd be fine because I know the person's doing it.
Haven't we learned from all our little transgressions that a lot of other people aren't that kind of guy and take things a little too sensitive?
I guess so.
So should we stop playing that for Teddy when he comes out and makes a tackle?
Gary, play that. You don't have the stones, Gary, to put that in the rotation.
You are correct.
What's that call?
Different strokes?
Oh, I didn't know that.
You don't have the stones, Gary. Do it.
Anyway.
Blame it on an intern or something.
And Bruschi explained the story. He said that, first of all, he and Vrabel were very, very close, like brothers, had a lot of similarities on and on and on. But then he said... When he started, he would make a lot of these comments, and it was funny. That's just he would explain that was just Mike's way. He deals with a lot of things in humor.
Right.
He's the sharpest tongue in the team without question. But he said that he thinks that the reason that maybe Vrabel did a lot of that stuff was because most of the guys on the team never saw him at his worst. They didn't know how bad he was.
Right.
They only saw him after he was into the rehab stage.
Right.
So. You know, it was like he had an ailment or something he was coming back from.
Yeah.
They don't realize how serious it was
right.
and how grave it was, really.
Right.
And I think that's what Bruschi was kind of defending Vrabel in that, you know, for anybody who might have thought he was making light of it.
Right.
He didn't look at it that way. But then evidently, over time, these kept piling up, and finally they had it out. And he explains, like on Entourage, they ended up hugging it out.
Right.
And they haven't talked since.
But you guys,
it's funny because
kidding. I'm
Andy
not serious. I don't know if they've spoken since.
For the guy who takes everything seriously, that's the disclaimer. We don't know exactly how close they are, but we knew Andy and I had talked about this a lot over the last year or so.
I think Andy and Eric will hug it out of.
They were inseparable.
Bear hug.
And every time one of them talks about something, he mentioned the other. It was always Vrabes and Brew. They always talked about whenever they answered a question, they always included the other one. That kind of disappeared a little bit last year, so it wasn't surprising to me to read this that they kind of weren't as close as maybe they were in the past, because you can see that.
Yeah.
Didn't he also accuse him of milking the photo op when he left the hospital?
Oh, yeah. He played it up when he left the hospital. He played up the, you know, the... You know how
Vrabel
how
said that
he was.
About him.
Yeah,
that would kind of.
But it was Vrabelisms. They were all
right.
You know.
It's sort of like you and Andy.
Yeah, exactly.
We could. Right.
Every
exactly.
once in a while, Paul gets really mad.
I was going to say, and every once in a while, Andy says, "Well, you know, maybe we just won't have a show." Paul's always right.
He's going to lose 15 pounds with the heat in here today, though. This is ridiculous.
This new IT policy with the locking out after 10 minutes.
This is no good, Fred.
Can we do something about that?
No, we cannot.
Nothing. Even for the season?
Nope.
That's going to suck on the plane.
Can you give me a good reason why?
It won't happen on the plane.
Yes, it will.
I think it only happens when you're attached to the network.
No.
Tom brings his laptop
home.
I
try to follow the Yankee game every night, every 2 minutes. Lock, lock, lock. Can you explain to me the purpose for this?
You might be wondering, Fred, why would someone follow the Yankees games at home on their own time when they hate the Yankees? And that would be an interesting point,
I
think.
Yes, it would be.
Because I'm nuts.
No, because you want to get into it with Parenti. That's why.
No, I hate the Yankees.
You want to have ammunition.
I hate them.
Yeah.
No, he just hates the Yankees.
Parenti likes them, but he hates them too, so we're actually talking about the same thing.
But Fred, what is the point of it?
It's so that people, if you walk away from your computer, people can't go on and do things from your computer.
Well, what fun is that?
Plus, aren't we in like a secure environment? I got a flash code
blame,
to get in. And
blame probably some other departments.
Well, I was going to ask you, have we had a lot of issues with this?
I think, you know, we get things that happen, and IT can track whose computer it came from. And the built-in excuse, of course, is it wasn't me. Somebody must have sat down at my desk and done it.
See, I don't believe anybody who ever says something like that.
Yeah.
Unless someone actually catches.
Desk.
Yeah. I've never sat down at anybody's computer and done anything. And believe me, I'm as immature as the next guy. If it was something like that to be had, I'd do it. Well, Andy, you don't think Andy would do it three times a day?
Well, to be fair, I sat at Kyle's computer one day when he left Instant Messenger
open. That was different.
And went back and forth with his girlfriend pretending it was Kyle.
But that wasn't a...
They did break up.
But she was a real...
Yeah.
Rhymes
so you're responsible for Kyle breaking up with his girlfriend.
I'm doing him a favor.
You know,
does he think that?
Yes.
Okay.
He doesn't have the stones to end it, but she was a miserable, miserable.
Not only doesn't have the stones to end it, he's still trying to get it.
Yeah, he's got a new girlfriend, but he's still trying to keep that option open too.
It's playing the field as the youngsters.
I would
think
he should work in with Lori about getting to go out with some of the cheerleaders.
Well, he'd like to go out with
Lori. I was going
to
say, I think he's taking a shot with Lori, but
Kyle,
that ain't happening.
Yeah.
Kyle? that's all I have to say.
This the man?
You know, different cheerleaders have different tastes. You know, maybe
none of them have a taste for Kyle.
Okay. You never know, though. I mean, have you seen... Well, let's not go there.
Shut up.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, I highly recommend the Brusky book to the fans.
Okay. Are the cheerleaders coming to the soiree?
Tracy will be there and her assistant. I don't know of any others.
Well, Lori will be there, right?
Lori,
not a cheerleader. I said cheerleaders.
Oh, good point. She's an ex-cheerleader. Has been.
Right. Has
never,
been.
Never was.
Washed up.
Okay.
Lost it.
Web radio.
The over-under is 5 years, Fred.
Four.
Her significant weight gain.
Really? You think so?
50 bills.
I don't know. She's pretty tall and thin. I don't know if she...
But she have eats, some fun with it.
She eats crap and she doesn't work out.
She doesn't work out?
She's a half a Twinkie away.
Okay.
As with someone else in the...
All right, are we going to read emails?
webradio@patriots.com.
Is it hot in here?
The email address, webradio@patriots.com. Tom.
The thermostat that always says 72 actually says 78 and rising.
7 days, Tom.
Oh, tick.
No. 9 days.
Oh,
tick.
We are going to talk about
nine
your
days.
Wedding, apparently.
Yeah, we hadn't touched on that yet. Tick, 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 tick.
That's all right. Just, you know, the countdown.
I'm going to have
you
to
know.
Get a third
I have
Pepsi
a suite.
In the first hour.
I know. You have a suite.
I have a suite.
You're going to need an arc that day.
I was going to say, you can hang out there when it rains.
It's not going to rain.
Oh, yeah. 10-day forecast. He emailed it to me.
It said 60%.
The entire East
Coast is green. The entire East is like never. It's impossible. Could not happen. It's all green. Luckily, it's 9 days away, so hopefully it changes. But
it'll change five times.
We're screwed.
I'll make a couple calls.
All right.
Let's see. Ben writes in. He's from Boston.
Boxborough.
Dover.
And he says, from what you've seen in minicamp, in the draft, and free agency, are we the best team in the league, the best offense, or in the top three in defense? What do you think?
That's an interesting topic that I brought up with Paul, because ESPN has been doing those depth chart things, and all I saw was everybody raving about the Patriots' offense, how great it's going to be. Best, you know, Jaws was saying, I used to think they had the slowest receivers, now they have the fastest. And I said to him, I find it funny that I personally think there's still a lot of questions on offense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of new talent, but running back, tight end, wide receiver, you still have a lot of questions there.
The best offense in professional football is the Indianapolis Colts.
And
probably.
And Jaws still ranked Indianapolis ahead of the
right.
Patriots.
No, I know.
Simply because Manning and those guys have been together, and like we always say, they share the same brain. And they, Brady doesn't have that with his receivers yet.
But everybody's raving about the Patriots' offense. And yet a defense that set a franchise record for points allowed last year and added arguably the best free agent in football.
Rodney
I
Harrison
hear, like, nothing
back.
About. No one talks about the defense at all.
And I think it's kind of what you saw last. I think people remember that defense in Indianapolis kind of getting steamrolled. And
I said to him, I wonder if there's, you know, a Vrabel or a Brewski or a Harrison kind of ticked off right now saying, wait a minute, we were really good last year, and we have the chance to be
they're
better.
They're going to have a good defense because Belichick is the coach. So
right.
It's never going to be terrible. It doesn't matter who's out there.
You know, that's a great
people
point.
Are overlooking it.
And the 5-11 team in 2000 had a reasonably good defense. And that was a bad, bad team personnel-wise.
He's just
going
to outsmart
Belichick
people.
Just can flat-out coach defense. Yeah. And I don't care who he has, he's going to find a way to keep the points down.
I think a key to what you were saying, Andy, I think it's Maroney.
Yeah.
Because with Chris Brown off the market now, if Maroney goes down, you're down to Sammy Morris. And we don't care how many 100-yard games he had against the Patriots. That was a long run at the end of the game, as Paul always points out. He's no... every week running back. So if Maroney is out for 1 week, okay, they'll get by. If he's out for 6, 7, 8 weeks, I think you start getting into trouble there.
Let's see. Ben also says, if Troy Brown doesn't make the team, which I think he will, should he retire a Patriot? And I love the show. It's better than the sports radio shows in Boston like EEI 850. I download it every day.
Yeah, EEI stinks.
Thank you.
I think the last part
You're
of that
making my point.
Is totally up to Troy. I mean, I think it's easy for us to sit here and say, geez, I'd love for him to retire a Patriot. I hope he doesn't go anywhere. But if he still feels he can play, and if for some reason it doesn't work out here in New England, which we all think it will,
I don't
he should go somewhere else and play if he wants to play.
I don't think that the Patriots cut Troy Brown.
No, I don't either.
If he comes to camp, then I say he's on the opening day roster.
No, I totally agree.
I don't see that scenario playing out where he gets cut.
But he says he wants to play, and if there's for some reason he doesn't end up re-signing here, and he's out there, and he's open, and he's
Bill
on the open
said he
market.
Wants him.
I know, but I'm just saying if it doesn't work out, if he wants to keep playing, then I don't think he shouldn't keep playing because we want him to retire a Patriot. Yes, right. I do. I would love to see him retire a Patriot and never play for another organization.
Doesn't matter. He's going to be a Patriot either way.
How,
if he plays one year in the Jets, he's
how's
a
he going to play here? I'm just trying to figure it out.
Because he's better than Jabbar Gaffney and Rishay Caldwell.
Well, I would put Caldwell at four. As a
fourth
receiver.
I think Troy Brown's better.
At this stage of his career? Well,
from what I saw last
year,
I think he's better.
I think right now, as a fourth receiver, I think Caldwell inside can
I think Troy Brown has lost seven steps and is still a bigger chance to actually go more than 4 yards.
I haven't seen Troy Brown do anything in a couple years other than strip that guy.
Well, I thought he had a great year last year for his age and his health and everything. I thought he had a very good
year.
Well,
yeah, for his age and his health.
I think Rishay Caldwell.
That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about Troy Brown.
There was no one else, so you had to throw it to him.
I think
that's all Rishay Caldwell. Rishay
Caldwell's skill set, he had a good year. I don't think he's anything special, but you put Rishay Caldwell as a fourth receiver.
He had a Hall of Fame year for his skill set. Yeah.
I'll go on record right now. I'll do you all a favor. Troy Brown isn't playing here anymore. It's all over.
Oh. Okay.
Troy Brown will be here.
It's too late. We haven't heard anything. Something's up. Something's fishy.
Well, I think they're waiting to see his rehab, right? To see.
That's what I think. I think it's just health.
Yeah.
So now we have an injured 35-year-old receiver.
No, I don't think he'll have an injured one. I think if he is injured, he'll say, I can't do it.
If he doesn't,
I thought it would come back, and I can't do it.
I agree with Andy. If he doesn't play, I think it's going to be because he's not physically able
to. I think if he's healthy, he catches 35 to 40 balls. And they'll be good catches.
No way.
Matt
no
from
way.
Southie.
Hang on a second, Fred. Yeah. Where are these 40 receptions coming from?
Book it. Because he's every bit as good as Wes Welker. If Wes Welker can catch all these passes underneath Troy Brown.
The guy's gone a week. Now all of a sudden he's talking craziness.
Well, I did play only Division III football.
Ends.
I'd be smarter if I played Division
I. You have tight ends. You have backs. You have receivers all over the place. And you got this guy catching
35
passes.
To 40 balls if he plays a
That's
season.
One of the crazier things I've ever heard on this show.
It's almost
right.
as crazy as 10.5 sacks.
Well, I said one of the crazier things. I didn't say what the other ones were.
Matt from Southie, how pissa would it be to have Pete Kendall spend the last couple of years in his hometown? He could be a veteran presence on an already nasty line. Plus, Paul, wouldn't it be nice to stick it
Paul.
To that fat effing traitor Mangini? Don't let me down, Paul.
My favorite is him mixing a salad.
I have no problem with sticking it to Mangini or anything, but there's absolutely no chance that Bill Belichick signs Pete Kendall. He's done nothing but go out of his way to take shots at him over the last 2 or 3 years. Am I right on that?
Yeah.
Every opportunity he's gotten to take a shot at
Pete
Kendall, he
has.
He
does not like Pete Kendall for some reason.
He doesn't like Pete Kendall.
Okay.
Plus, I think Pete Kendall is a complete ass for the way he's been acting with this contract situation where he's looking for a renegotiation in one of those 7-year, $49 million.
Right.
Stupid.
Isn't he old? Didn't he get cut like a year ago?
So ridiculous.
I think so.
Guy goes from being cut to thinks he wants a $49
million He's contract. 1 year into his – he had a 4-year contract he signed. He's 1 year
I
into
I agree
it.
With Bill on this one. Pete Kendall's a dink.
Plus, he's a guard.
You can always get a guard.
George,
even in the first round.
George from Goffstown, New Hampshire. We're in the NFL seventh layer of hell time, and it gives us a little time to discuss frivolous issues. Robert Griffith and Darius Donovan.
See, first
two
hour.
Older
Donovan
vets who I feel would be great insurance signings in case Rodney gets hurt this year. Due diligence, should the Pats bring in one or both of these guys for a look-see? Donovan is rehabbing a broken ankle, but before he got hurt, he was improving at pass coverage. Look at the stats. Interceptions were up to 5 for that year.
Interceptions didn't matter.
Griffith is 36, but not injured and would take vets minimum to come in. Either way, one of these guys could cement the strong safety position for the year. We all know the weakest link is the secondary. You can never have enough quality safeties come playoff time. Now I'll wait to hear Tom reacts. Boy, is this guy stupid.
No, I just, if you want this you want this secondary to get weaker, bring in Robert Griffin. Because how long has it been since I've been like a big gambler, like 5-6 years? I remember I remember back then when we used to, teams that threw across the middle, we used to
last
target
winter.
Robert Griffin. Because
he took Hawaii with the over 5 straight weeks last fall.
I don't know a whole lot about Robert Griffin.
He stinks. He's one of those in-the-box guys. He's a good tackler, but in coverage, he's awful. He's always been awful ever since he came out of Minnesota.
Darius is like the same as Harrison. He's had like three major injuries in the last 2 years.
Right.
And I believe it was an ACL, a broken leg, and a torn labrum over the last
Donovan Darius has had a very, very good career, but he's been banged up a lot.
He's only 31. He's not over the hill.
Yeah, he's probably not done.
And he would seem to be a Patriot type, a guy who was at a high level for some reasons has been brought back down. You bring him in, get a year or two out of him.
That would make more sense to me than Griffin.
Kind of interesting too to hear about how after the now he was released very unexpectedly. It wasn't one of those cap casualty. You know, everybody knew it was coming. It was totally out of the blue. And he took it and actually went out of his way. He had a press conference at Jacksonville's headquarters and had nothing but great things to say about the Jags organization. Fred wouldn't have let him do it. But I just thought that was interesting that a guy gets dismissed out of the blue and has nothing but nice things to say about the organization. So
and what did Pro Football
maybe it
talk
is a Patriots
today?
Kind of guy.
The Raiders.
They had Raiders. Oh yeah, the Raiders. I guess
somebody else.
We're interested in him. You didn't even mention that, Fred. You see that the NFL took away the last week of their off-season program for violations of like the non-contact rules and stuff.
The Raiders?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. No.
That's what
I know they were looking into that.
Essentially, hire Kyle Passadi as your head coach.
What was their evidence? How did they?
The players complained or something.
Oh, really? It was a player thing?
Yeah, it was from the players through the union and on up through there.
Can we all make a pact right now, just so we have it? I want Gary tape this. I just want this down. If the
Blood Brothers,
if the Patriots ever sign Pac-Man Jones, I don't want to hear one person emailing in saying he was portrayed wrong in the media or about what a nice guy he is.
I'll
or,
say that.
Or the
even you won't. Or even
the,
you won't.
Or my favorite, which I know would be coming. Well, everybody goes to strip clubs. I don't want to hear any of that crap because that guy is an absolute loser.
The only thing
I think the Titans might even cut him, right?
Well, Jeff Fisher's done with him.
Jeff Fisher keeps saying
from the
we've moved on. It's all PAC's. It's all PAC's issue. It's not our issue. We've moved on.
Yeah,
and moved out.
So they're all done with him.
But the only thing that I would say, Fred, and this is the one thing that I'll say, okay, at least Patriots fans will be consistent. They'll say, I'm going to give him a chance and see what he does from here on in, you know, as a Patriot.
I don't want to hear it.
I personally don't want to give anybody a chance like that, as you know.
And the owners of the Foxy Lady would be doing high fives because their business just went up 10%.
I don't need that tired rant, but that's what Patriots fans would say is, let's give him a chance and see, you know, with Belichick, he'll toe the straight and narrow with Belichick.
They're not paying him a lot.
No risk.
He's over the line.
He's an idiot,
he's
clearly.
He's over the line.
I mean,
can you imagine?
It's like days after he says he gets it now, he's going to turn it around, and he's at a strip club. And I don't care anything about a shooting. It's being at the strip club at 2 in the morning. You just said you were turning it around, and you're at a strip club at 2 in the morning.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Right.
This guy is just
plus,
in the wrong place
whoever
at the wrong
says that, whatever happens after midnight.
Coincidence.
Isn't good.
Ginger Perillo.
Well, my dad used to say, if you're not in bed by midnight, go home.
Yeah, you should.
Right.
I think that's true.
No matter who with?
Well, if you're not in bed by midnight, go home.
If you even move it back a little bit earlier than that.
Potty Mouth Perillo.
When he went to, well, I said nothing dirty. Anyway, when he went to meet with Goodell to try to talk about possibly appealing.
Before.
He was at a strip joint the night before.
He has a problem. He clearly has an addiction to strip clubs.
And then, you know, there was some rumors that
they call it Pac-Man.
They were unsubstantiated rumors and no one saying on the record, but.
What
does that mean?
Keep going.
Well, just that he said.
Tell us in the break.
There was an off-duty.
Idiot.
An off-duty cop that was working as a bouncer that night at that strip joint said that he heard Pac-Man as that altercation, you know, he's supposedly lily white and clean in this whole thing. And as he heard the altercation, he went to his car and said, screw this, I'm going to get my gun. That
night. The guy from White Man Can't Jump, Marquise, Marcus, yeah. I'm going to my car, get my other gun, shoot everybody.
Marcus
that's
Johnson.
Just dumb being there. He just doesn't get
Speaking of bad guys,
Fred Kirsch?
Michael Vick. I hear he's going to be on an upcoming Dog Whisperer episode with Caesar Milan.
With Pac-Man Jones. That's why they call him Pac-Man.
But Nike is saying they're going to wait to see what happens before they get rid of him as a...
I don't
now,
care.
How about
he's not
that?
A very good player.
How about that? Now, if you're a major endorsement company for him, and the contract's not up. Now, I know one of them that already cut ties with him. The contract
was up,
so it was convenient for them.
Right.
Perfect.
The airline.
But if it's not up, AirTran, I think it was. If it's not up, do you cut them loose based on what you know now, or do you wait for something to happen?
I'll wait a little bit. I won't do anything with them, but I'll wait before I tear up the contract. You know.
What about you?
I'd cut that.
I'm not shooting
what
any.
About you, Tom?
Let's put it this way. I'm not shooting any new commercials with him in the meantime.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah. I would sit him down and ask him if he's ever going to be a good player. If not, I'd take a contract.
All right, webradio@patriots.com. Logan from Boxborough. I was reading NFL news on ESPN.com and found this quote.
Logan
quote,
from Boxborough now? We're huge in Boxborough.
Logan.
Boxborough's not that big of a town either.
The union has complained about the high level of intensity, player aggressiveness, and fast pace of our practices, and as a result, has taken away the final week of our off-season program, said Lane Kiffin. I was curious if the apparent toughness of the coach's practices changes your opinion of him, Andy, since I know you were bashing him for looking weak before.
Well, no, now he failed. He proved that he doesn't know the rules, and he's getting taken advantage of again by the players.
I don't think toughness. Yeah. So we don't know. We weren't there. We don't know what kind of practices.
But I think that you're exaggerating to make your point, though, because, I mean, let's face it, you could get all 32 teams for this.
Yes.
So it's not because Lane Kiffin didn't know how the rules
work. Players in this locker room turning Bill Belichick in
for anything? It's not because Lane Kiffin didn't know the rules.
They respect him. Lane Kiffin, Andy, they know they can push over and walk all over. Warren Sapp wasn't 10 minutes into practice when he probably pulled out his cell phone on the field and called the union.
It's a shame that because Belo wasn't.
And he wouldn't do that with anybody else. He's respected all the other authority
figures in
his career.
He wouldn't do it with Bill Belichick. I didn't see anybody here doing it. Randy Moss didn't do it.
Belo wasn't doing anything.
Why should he? There was no contact for Randy Moss.
Rashad Baker.
He barely even participated.
Rashad Baker almost gave him a concussion.
Yeah, and then the only contact he had was when he threw that punch at Don Banks. Only kidding. He didn't really throw a punch.
Oh, what'd you want, Tom?
I was saying it's too bad because B-Lo wasn't doing anything at the combine. I wish he had taped that little segment. Is that the Raiders head coach over there? Yeah. No chance.
It is what it is.
Didn't talk to him. Didn't do just no chance.
Let's see. PJ writes in, I would like to applaud the new addition to the PFW in Progress family, Eric. With his background as a Division I college player, well, maybe not a player, but a kicker, he adds a tremendous amount to the team. His stirring analysis of Garrett Mills' switch to linebacker was only trumped by his well-thought-out choice of Wes Welker over Deion Branch as a better player. I can't wait to hear this week how Tom Brady would make a perfect cornerback in Asante Samuel's absence in that Fred is actually an intelligent and impartial football analyst. Also, why was Tom so grouchy last week? I mean, Tom is usually grouchy, but this was more so than normal. I think his wedding thing is getting to him. Hey, Tom, you said you'll be drinking a lot at the wedding. Just make sure you be careful on the wedding night, or I'll be congratulating you in 9 months on the birth of little Emmett. P.S., I'm just kidding, Eric. Welcome to the PSW in Progress family.
Wait, that means it's a boy, Tom.
Wait, a girl can get pregnant when you're passed out face down on a bed now?
Well, yeah, but not necessarily through you. That's why it's going to be Emmett. It might come out a little darker than you'd like.
There will be nothing going on that wedding night.
I'm a little scared of this wedding. Tom is saying that
wow, you have a suite.
Some crazy things going on at this wedding.
What do you mean?
But
you
due to fire code, there'll be no smoke.
I don't have to tell Beth that she needs to stay home, is it?
No.
Are you going to like pick a fight with your family?
No,
it's going to be all out
brawl. It's not going to be stuff like that.
It's not going to be like
saying,
people throwing cake at each other in chairs.
You might see me like in a different light because you haven't known me that long. In other words, I may be in a good mood.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
God knows I just have this vision of you with
some people, they act differently when they have a little bit of alcohol. Are you a happy drunk?
Happy. He's a happy drunk.
You're a happy
drunk. You should have seen him at the AFC title party. He had like 4 glasses of red wine, and he was the nicest guy in the world, telling stories, laughing.
Never seen that side of him.
I've never gotten in a fight when I was drunk ever.
Yeah, because some people they pass out. Some people get mad.
They get really mean. Yeah. Some people.
I throw up.
Yeah, Andy can't hold his liquor.
Paul? Can Papagino deliver wine too?
I talk even more than normal.
Oh boy! All right.
Well, see, Fred, the problem is I am suffering from sleep apnea, and
how's that going?
Well, I just got fitted for that mask thing and everything, so in about a month I'll have it. But that's the reason why I've been so grouchy. I've been snapping at everybody.
So you go to bed, you have to look like Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
What does this look like? This mask.
It's a mask, and it helps you breathe because you stop breathing throughout the night when you have it, and I'm not getting any sleep. So
you're like snoring, then all of a sudden.
Yeah, you don't know you're waking up.
Right.
You just wake up.
Right.
So with this, I'll be a much nicer person. So everybody has that to look forward to in about a month or so.
It's like this whole wedding thing is like a revenge tour. Like I have this vision of like Costanza with the red shirt and the big chocolate stain in the middle. and you showing up, like getting everybody back.
No, it's just going to be a regular wedding.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's going to be fun.
It's not going to be uncomfortable for people who aren't on the inside.
Right. That's what I mean, yeah.
It's not going to be stuffy.
It's not going to be like people not know. It's just going to be fun.
There aren't going to be like arguments that like make you uncomfortable.
Arguments? Who's going to argue?
I don't know. It happens.
Me and
Bilo. Know?
My family, most of my family's not coming because I don't like them, so I've already eliminated them.
Okay. All right.
No, there's not going to be arguments. What kind of weddings do you go to? You're talking about fist fights and baseball bats and arguments?
I don't know. You just said this. You know, you wait. There's going to be some things happening here.
Yeah, fun things.
I figured, like Paul said, this is the moment that you're going to get back at everything.
No, you're not going to walk out back and there's going to be like five of us surrounding some guy near a dumpster kicking the crap out.
No?
Remember it's that 10 bucks you owed me?
Okay. All right. All right, let's see. I just want to make sure should I wear the good suit or the suit
the
I don't mind?
You'll be fine.
Wear the custom made one. I want to see what
no,
that looks like.
No fog machine.
They won't the Elway 7 on the back.
It's a little tight.
Sorry, Fred.
Yeah, we could both wear our custom made suits that we got ripped off with.
Okay. Well, you don't like yours?
No, I like it. A little pricey, but
fits well though, right?
Yeah, fits well.
Hangs well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Fred. Yeah.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Let's see. Joe D. writes in, you guys had a brief discussion last week about the Patriots' current alternate uniforms, the old unis and the Pat Patriot logo. Paul brought up the interesting story about a time in the late 70s when the fans were asked to vote on the team logo at halftime of a Patriots game. I remember seeing it as well and recall the Pat Patriot logo winning the fan applause vote by a landslide. The image in my
the
mind...
The official fan applause vote.
That's what they did.
What was the alternative?
There was two different logos, and they had the fans cheer for the first one, and then they put the second one up there, and nobody cheered, but... Everybody just kept yelling, we want the old one. So it was like whatever 100 decibels to negative decibels.
What was the
new one? Well, that's
we
part of the
think
question.
Of it, but Joe says, the image in my mind of the losing logo was one of a flag made up of the Pats red, white, and blue. And as I recall, a youngster being relieved that it didn't dethrone Pat Patriot. So it was like a flag?
I don't really remember.
Doesn't sound
I do
very
remember.
Cool.
My brother was at the game. And I remember my brother was saying to him that he kind of liked the new one a little bit, but then everybody started screaming that we want the old one, so he didn't say anything.
Peer pressure wins again.
Well, fear in those days at the old Schaefer Stadium. What are you kidding
me? Fear your brother. I've heard you two smashing people's faces into concrete risers.
First of all, it was a head, not a face. Didn't bust a face open. Second of all, the rule of thumb was...
This is just someone that stood up in front of him during the game.
No, behind me.
Stood up behind you. That bothers you too?
Well, they were leaning on me.
Oh.
And they kept falling on top of us. And the rule of thumb for the whole year was, if we ever have to get in a fight with these morons, don't turn around and punch up, because then you're working against gravity.
Right.
Pulling down.
Right.
We had one of those little the underpass.
We had a premeditated assault.
Oh, yeah. There was a wall right here. He goes, pull him down. We'll throw him into the wall here, and we'll start punching him that way. And
it worked.
Lo and behold, the AFC Championship game, we had our opportunity because they were so blitzed drunk that day that they were falling on us. We didn't even have to pull them down. They fell, landed on the ground, and I got three of the quickest left hooks in that you'll ever see.
Nice.
Like lightning.
Did you get kicked out?
Oh, no.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Good. Excellent. Good job. I like it.
And I went back, sit down, and watched the rest of the AFC Championship
game. Did everyone applaud?
Wait a minute. They got kicked out for getting punched three times.
They were falling down drunk, Andy. They couldn't stand.
I don't understand that. Go to a
it
game.
It was a late game.
So
remember, the Jacksonville game was a late game. It was like a 3 o'clock start. And back in those days, it was like 12 and 3:30 or whatever.
Like it should be.
Not like they'd ruin it now. It used to be the best day in the history of sports. But now they have to play it Sunday night.
Because they have to get ratings up for some reason.
Because, you know, everybody that I've ever met watches the game. But you have to have the ratings maximized. Anyway, it was like a whole day. They must have just had a whole day where they were drinking. Constantly. That was the night the lights went out against Jacksonville.
Oh, sure.
That was also the infamous night that Robert Kraft referred to Bill Parcells as the greatest sideline coach in the modern era.
Paul, I was in the locker room.
The greatest sideline coach in the modern era.
It was a good day. Let's see.
It was a good day. And then I went to the Super Bowl 2 weeks later. I won the lottery.
Wow.
Did you sucker punch anybody there?
No.
Paul.
Close.
All right.
The guy that told me to give me $5 for my whole outfit after the game, I had all my Patriots stuff on. I told him to go home and go, you know what, to his mother.
Wow. See, Paul actually used to be a fan.
Right.
When I don't know
I
what
tried
happened.
To tell you, Fred.
I don't know what happened.
I try to tell you that when you are a journalist, or you at least claim to be,
right,
you can't actually root for one thing over the other. We all have our allegiances, and clearly mine are with the home team here. But, you know, you got to try to, like,
when
check that at the door.
On the wow. road.
and go way over to the other side.
You got to try to check that at the door a little bit.
This guy came right out of Indy with one of those big Colts on his head. One of those big foam Colts.
Yeah.
High-fiving people.
I was going to say, the difference between me and Andy is Andy was high-fiving the guys with the Colts, whereas I wanted to fight the Packers guys.
I think I saw Andy hugging Bill Polian.
At one point, I thought he was holding hands with him.
Webradio at pitches.com.
Oh, it's okay for you.
Derek from Whitman, I heard you comment on Brewski's minicamp lackluster performance. To me, that is very concerning if he's lost another step. I hope the factors of age in the Samuel holdout doesn't negate the Adalius Thomas free agent signing. I'm hoping the defense gets back to the dominance of 03 and 04. I know last year they had the best stats, but my eyes told me that they were not as dominant as they were in those two Super Bowl runs. I'm a huge Tom Brady fan, but let's face it, when they went 2-1 the Super Bowl, Brady has always had a dominant defense to bail him out. That's not true. I mean, the Carolina Panthers, that defense was not dominant.
Not on the field that day.
And the Eagles.
Certainly not that day.
Not
but
when
the
Sean
defense.
Mayer
oh, during the season.
The
defense
was
dominant in 2004. I kind of agree with most of that email. Even though that they set that franchise record last year, I kind of agree with that.
No
my
question
my eyes didn't good. Tell me that right. that was a franchise, you know, a banner, you know, a landmark season
right.
for a defense.
No question.
They were very good, I thought, last year, but not great. 2004 was great,
and they,
in my opinion.
Last year, they smothered the bad team, bad
right.
offenses that they played. They smothered them.
And they just happened to play a lot of bad offenses,
right.
a lot of bad teams, period. They played a weak schedule. But I think in particular, Tom, you're right. They played a lot of bad offenses.
And the thing about Brewski is, and we were talking about this last year with Corey Dillon, the one thing, and fans will say, well, why are you saying this, why are you saying that? The one thing you can't run away from is age. All players get older. And Brewski,
very profound.
But I'm just saying, last year we saw Brewski kind of lose a little bit. And you would only think it's logical that he's going to take a little step backwards again this year because he's getting older. Now, it was only minicamp. You can't really tell anything from minicamp. It seems to me, once again, he's having trouble covering people in that middle part of the field. And when you're playing teams like the Jets and those teams like to throw those short passes, that could be a problem.
All right. Alex writes in, hello, PFW crew. Yeah, that includes Fred. Last week's introduction got me really scared because it only said Paul Perillo. I thought Paul was going to do another show all by himself. Quietly, Denver has signed a solid group of veterans like Travis Henry, Dre Bly, and our own Daniel Graham. Looking at their schedule, they face their tough division and have three back-to-back road games, but since they play a weak NFC North, they could reach the 10-11 win plateau. My concern is that the Broncos are the one team that the Patriots have the most trouble dealing with, along with the Colts. So how do you like their chances both in the regular season and in an eventual playoff run?
Well, they don't play the Broncos, right, in the regular season?
Well, I think he's talking about the Broncos.
No, he's talking about how you like the Broncos' chances.
I'm madly in love with the Broncos.
I figured you guys would answer that because
I think
the
Broncos
you have a man crush on Jay
Cutler. Colts, Patriots, Broncos are the teams to beat in the AFC. I don't have the Chargers there because I don't know who coaches them.
Colts, Broncos, Patriots, and you don't even put the Chargers in the mix.
Chargers also ran.
I think that's crazy.
Step back. Take
I
a step
I just think
back.
It's too hard. I think there's going to be a bunch of teams in the mix. Last year, not one person was really saying the Ravens were going to be that good. No one thought the Jets were going to make the playoffs.
Bengals don't bounce back this year?
I think maybe they have the talent.
They
could,
have the
but
talent. But
where does Pittsburgh fall in, you guys
think? That's the wild card.
I think they'll
team.
Bounce back.
That's the
think.
Wild card.
What do you
card
think
team.
Of this guy, Tomlin?
Don't like him. That's why I'm questioning whether they will bounce
they're,
back.
They're one of the toughest teams, I think, to predict this upcoming year, how they're going to do. Because you look at them, and they got the team there that can make some noise. But like you said, they got the new coach.
I have fears about how this Roethlisberger thing, where he's madly in love with everything they're doing offensively. And to me, that reeks of a guy who was playing under a pretty strict system, and now the superstar is kind of getting his way. And I feel like a lot of
right.
times the superstar finds out, maybe it worked a little bit better.
And as
when
we
I had
know, Ben Roethlisberger doesn't always make the right decision.
I'm a little
concerned
about
him. I think that's a fair criticism, Fred.
I'm a little concerned about him. You hear those things that he doesn't always work hard. Right. I don't like hearing those things.
I read his thing where he's visited like every continent and every nice island this summer.
Well,
this
but
offseason.
That doesn't mean he's not.
Well, Tom Brady has too.
Yeah,
I agree.
Be fair and say that
questionable work ethics this offseason.
Well, come on. I think Brady's work ethic is beyond reproach. Other than for Tom. Wants to know about his whereabouts at all times.
I just said he should get married. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I like my franchise players to be married and be home with kids.
All right.
Now, only bad things can happen going around the world with that model.
It's funny.
Now, you know that's
it's
true.
It's funny because Drew used to get criticized because he was married and his family was more important to him than watching film. Now, Peyton Manning obviously is way out of the box.
You got to prioritize.
Family was obvious. Peyton Manning is very atypical. He's a married guy who really doesn't care about anything but watching film.
Right.
You know, so it's not like he's the best of both worlds because he's not running around the strip clubs and doing those kinds of, you know, glamorous things. And he's also not, you know, for lack of a better term, preoccupied with his family. He's just watching film. He's football 24/7 at all times. But I don't know. I think that there's ways of looking at it from both sides.
Do you think, I'm trying to find a way to phrase this question where it can be answered. If people in the Patriots organization could pick Brady or Manning to start a team, who do you think they would pick?
That's a great question.
Because you said I think the key phrase there is the way Manning is. He doesn't care about anything but football and watching film and making money, obviously, with his commercials.
Brady.
Brady's more marketable.
It would
I thought we were talking about football.
No,
yeah, I'm talking about football.
Because you know what's marketable?
I think it's unfair because I think it's a great question, but I think the one thing that you can't – I agree with Tom. I mean, Andy, I think it would be Brady, but you can't get past the fact that Belichick has had Brady.
Right.
If Brady was the quarterback for the Jets and Manning was the quarterback for the Colts and then you had Belichick and you asked him.
I think he'd take Manning.
I think he might take Manning.
I do too.
But I think knowing what he knows about Brady,
right.
Especially after I think he would take
Brady.
2 hours
by the pool in Hawaii, they were, you know, chumming it up there.
Let's see. Alejandro says he's from
Blockbuster Trade, maybe?
Bogota.
Remember that
where
DiMaggio Williams thing? Brady, Manning? Be a good one.
You all right, friend?
Yeah, Mr. Kraft, Napoleon. Go at it one night and come away with new QBs.
The first reference Andy's ever made for anything that's happened before 1985.
Wow.
Screw you.
Alejandro's from Bogota.
Well,
we're starting
the
franchise of
logo.
Tom Casale's fan club. So far, one member.
Wow. What's going on?
You have a fan club in Bogota now.
Oh, okay. That's good.
I'm getting close to having another one
or
of those Buffalo tenders.
Bogota.
I was thinking about it, but I also have some rumbles. Who's this, Alejandro?
Yeah.
Try to double that membership if you can.
Okay. I was watching last year's AFC Championship, and I could corroborate Tom's commentary that Mike Vrabel is overrated as a pass rusher. Even though he went after Manning on multiple occasions, he rarely, if never, provided any pass rush at all. I've yet to see a depth chart, but I think he is returning to the middle linebacker spot. Is he not? Another question, what kind of coverage responsibilities do both middle linebackers have in the Patriots 3-4 scheme?
That's my favorite question.
I think I might have posed the question. Sometimes I'll pose questions like, do you think Vrabel's a little bit overrated at this point?
I think some have said.
I mean, if you're going to say, would I rather have a Dalis Thomas on the outside making plays than Mike Vrabel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that they're looking right now to get Thomas up to speed at all aspects of the defense, and I think that's why we saw him inside more often than not. In minicamp, I don't think necessarily that means for sure he's going to play, you know, say the Mike spot during the regular season. He might, but I don't think because he was there in minicamp, that means he's going to do it. We saw last year, Vrabel was doing a lot of inside at minicamp, if you remember. And then when the regular season started, he didn't play inside until after Sayal got hurt.
And I think you're going to see a lot of crazy things. We saw Thomas lined up as he was the only down linemen with like linebackers flanked all over him. I think with this new toy, Belichick has the freedom to do some things that he couldn't do in the past. So it's going to be hard just to say they're running a 3-4 and this guy's here and this guy's there. Yeah.
And that last question that Alejandro asked, that's one of the, you know, I told you I'm trying to talk to Coach Belichick, and I want Andy, Tom, and I to be able to kind of hit him with four or five really.
He doesn't literally mean hit him.
Right. That's a good point, Andy. But with four or five really specific football questions like that, and that's one of the ones that I have in mind, the specific differences between the two inside linebackers and their roles. But
and then when he starts going, well, on this coverage, he's got three strong but two weak if
right.
they flip it. And
I know, but it's better than nothing, and that's what we're trying to do.
What are you going to do when I throw out a, you ever been to Shula's?
How many of those they have?
Got one in Providence now, 10, you know.
15, 20?
So far, anyway, we have not heard back on that. I made that request at minicamp, and hopefully, you know, before I end up leaving here sometime.
Just before he leaves for New York, he'll be sure to get back to you on that.
Right.
Louis writes in, hello, Fred, Andy, Paul, and Tom. With Gary out of the show last week, it was much more fluid with fewer sound bites. Anyway,
he was here.
Anyway, the Patriots are poised to have a big season this year, maybe a Super Bowl kind of year. I would like to ask from an historical perspective, why do great teams stop winning championships? For example, the 90s Cowboys won 3 out of 4 Super Bowls, winning every game by at least 10 points. The average margin of victory was 17. What happened
Domination.
To them in
Thank
the following years?
They got older.
Jimmy Johnson
their
left.
Coaches left.
Injuries. I mean,
yeah,
this is
a lot
like this.
Of things.
We did a story in the paper when we had all those guys talk about why dynasties ended.
And most importantly,
I had three. I forget what all the specifics were, but I had three different classifications as to why the dynasty.
And a lot of bad drafting, though, too. Like when those guys started leaving, the backups that Johnson had, the players that they drafted to replace them didn't pan out.
Right. And it makes sense when you're picking at the end of every round. It's tougher to keep right. that. You know, that talent level stocked to
but
the fullest.
But it's different for every team.
Well, injuries, tactics. The two biggest reasons are injuries and coaching changes.
Yeah.
You look at all of the teams that tried to three-peat. I think there's been 8 or 9 of them now. And generally they fall into one of three categories, and those were two of the main ones.
Sawyer from
what? The third?
I forget. I looked that up.
So you really liked the third.
That was the one. Remember when I got really... when, you know, the know-it-all media relations department said, you know, championships in recent memory, you know, because I said the New York Islanders or the Edmonton Oilers in the late 80s, that's recent.
Ah, screw them.
The whole semantics argument as to what recent would entail. I used, you know, the fact that the Oilers won all those cups in the late 80s as recent. And, you know, I might as well have said the Patriots didn't really win the Super Bowl a few times.
Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa. First, I hope the emailers are better this week. I was kind of embarrassed to be associated with those clowns.
Were bad emailers last week? Funny, I was thinking the same thing, but it had to do with co-hosts.
Second, my invitation to Jake's party must have been lost in the mail. If I were there, I imagine a conversation between Fred and Paul going something like this. Fred, it don't get no better than this. Paul, we've been coming to the same party for 12 years, and in no way is it depressing. Of course, that is right after Tom does a cannonball into the pool.
I don't get
swim.
That's Anchorman.
Last,
after they celebrate their ratings victory, they say that. Don't get no better than this. The girls on either side, and that's when he finally sees Christina Applegate, and he walks off and leaves the bimbo who wanted to boink him in the dust.
I see the Bills owner said that after he dies, his team will be sold. If the timing
Tomorrow?
Works that the team would be sold and moved to
Four
LA,
years ago?
What would happen to our division? Would we possibly swap with KC, or would it get more complicated than that?
It's a very complex
P.S.
proposal.
Did Andy eat Tom's chocolate squirrel?
Chocolate squirrel? Is that dirty? It better not be.
I don't get that either.
Explain that one during the break.
Pittsburgh or Baltimore would probably
I would think Baltimore would be what makes the most sense. Indy's further away.
But
they used to be in Baltimore.
It.
Because it was in Baltimore.
That's the whole point with Baltimore.
That's when they were in the AFC East, when they were in Baltimore, and then...
Yeah,
Pittsburgh has too many... they have to
Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Cincinnati, they have those really strong rivals.
But what if they move to Toronto? Then they'll just stay in the division.
Well, that could be, too.
That's what I think will happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think that makes any sense?
I think Toronto is where the Bills will end up.
Fred Kirsch and Willis
baseball
agree.
Baseball is so big there.
What do you mean?
Well, the baseball
bomb Canadian teams.
Baseball bombs in a lot of cities. This is the NFL we're talking about.
Pomposity.
Baseball bombs in Canada for a specific reason. Because the players don't want to play in Canada where their money doesn't go as far. Same in the NHL. Players don't want to go to those teams because their money is not the same.
Because of the income tax.
Wouldn't it be the same with NFL?
The Canadian dollars and all that stuff.
Right.
Wouldn't it be the same in the NFL?
I would imagine. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to make the
money.
I'm trying to make the correlation. It's not because of the league being poorly run. It's because the players don't want to go there.
I
and I would think that the same would be true for football players.
It's an uphill battle you fight.
Let's see. Steve says, Eric the Great, far be it for me to make a suggestion about the roster having never kicked at the Division I AA level. But I have a question for Eric. Eric's not here. Since he's reshuffling the entire lineup, having guys play both ways like the Arena Football League, what does he think about Matt Cassel playing safety? The Patriots need help there, and it seems like a waste to keep a guy that athletic on the bench. With Cassel at safety, Garrett Mills at linebacker, Troy Brown at corner, and Wes Welker catching 175 passes, I think there's a great chance the Pats go 19-0 this year. But what do I know? I just played linebacker at a small Division II school. It's not like I was a punter at a Division I AA school that was so irrelevant they dropped their football program. Keep them between the uprights, Eric, and great job by Gary playing the lonesome kicker last week.
Eric, not winning a lot of fans.
Well, he will over time.
It's tough. I mean,
he'll adopt your theory and just
go
say
Pats.
Really nice things about the Patriots at the end of every show, and
that's not
sooner
mine.
Or later he'll be the it'll be the Eric Scalavino
that
fan
was
club.
Started by one Muhammad Ali in fights during the last 15 seconds of rounds, and then adapted by Sugar Ray Leonard to steal rounds. That is not my theory, Paul. I have taken it from
Madison.
Some of the best.
When he does that speech and goes, yeah, play football, whatever, and everybody goes nuts.
You always got to try to steal the round.
Joe writes in, it's a fairly long email, but it's pretty good. There's a lot of thought to it, so I figured I'd read it.
Okay. I want to make this one the last one before the break.
Yeah. Great work on the off-season podcast. I didn't think it could get any better than when you guys had the NFL Hall of Famer John Hanna on the show, but you really outdid yourselves last week by bringing on a guy that both kicked and punted at the Division I AA level. Is that the definition of playing Iron Man? I'm afraid I've been listening to you guys a little too much lately. I was recently at a fairly high-end work function. Before dinner, as my colleagues were discussing which wines go best with which foods, I stated that maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
While they were talking about foreign films they had recently watched, I quoted lines from Anchorman and Billy Madison.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
In an attempt to redeem myself, I asked if anyone saw The Life Aquatic. No one has.
Said no.
I spent most of the dinner ripping my coworkers, and when my boss got up to present the yearly research award, I said, look at that douchebag. When it turned out that I had won the award, I said, everyone sucks but me. Overall, not my finest performance at a work function. While
everyone
listening to the show has enriched my life in many immeasurable ways, it has clearly diminished my ability to have an original thought. As a public service, I would like to present to your listeners some early warning signs that they are listening to the show a bit too much. Number one, you have placed a large bet on a pick guaranteed by Tom Casale. Number two.
Hey, one.
You make up nicknames for yourself, like Jake Steele or Tout.
I don't want to call you. You let us know.
Number three, you have developed a
like
hatred
Jake
for the
Steele
Irish. Twice as bad as if your last name starts with Mick or O. Four, you have read the back of The Life Aquatic at Blockbuster. Twice as bad as if you rented it. Five, you find it's not a bad movie. Five, you find yourself becoming attracted to underage girls. Six, you recently proposed to an underage girl. Seven, you are already thinking, how long are we going here? Eight, you find yourself checking out other men's physiques in the locker room and convince yourself you are doing it out of a professional interest.
Never said that.
Nine, you have perfected a way to argue with people who are essentially saying exactly what you were saying. That's a good one. That's what we do. 10, you ask complete strangers to buy you lunch. 11, you know more about vacuum cleaners than your wife. 12, in a fit of rage, you threaten to bend a guy over a table and then suddenly realize exactly what that threat implied.
I knew.
Oh, that makes it better.
13, we're not done here. You saw Andy Hart's Wikipedia page before it was taken down.
Yeah, screw Wikipedia.
14, you think video games peaked with Tecmo Bowl. And 15, you now hate China, fans who stand at football games, leaving the house, Bill Polian, Guinness, but you still try the burger, Fidelity, cable TV providers, dogs, your fat, insert racial slur, cousin who couldn't make it to your wedding, the unpatriotic Boston Red Sox, Chris Berman, the Soprano series finale, football players who tip poorly, and fans who write long emails without asking a question even remotely related to football.
Oh,
it's Joe from
those.
Winnipeg, Manitoba,
that's
Canada.
That's a great job,
that's
Joe.
Great.
The only question I have is, why do we hate Fidelity?
Is that you, Fred?
What?
Fidelity? You have hatred for Fidelity?
They're a high-level corporate sponsor, aren't they?
Yeah. Love Fidelity. Love Fidelity.
Plus, they have a large chunk of my money.
Are they buying lunch for us?
That was a great email.
That was a very good email.
Did you notice that Tom took
Canadian
a bunch of that, though?
Had.
Most of those little things were all Tomisms.
Wait, then you realize what that actually means. Oh, I knew what it meant.
I knew what it meant. Oh, that's
the whole point
better.
Of it.
Oh, all right, Gary, let's take a break. We'll
I
be right
you.
Back.
He will want us to call you.
You let us know.
Yeah. The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition goal line guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's got to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free goal line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Passionate rivalries, international soccer, the league's biggest stars, and your New England Revolution. It's a summer full of soccer at Gillette Stadium. Be there for the CONCACAF Gold Cup first-round doubleheader and quarterfinal tripleheader that includes the Revs and Columbus Crew, a rematch of the 2006 MLS Cup with the Houston Dynamo. And don't miss the LA Galaxy on August 12th when soccer icon and international superstar David Beckham makes his first trip ever to Foxborough. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman.
Matt Reese.
Oh, what a save. Are you kidding me?
And the rest of the Revs are turning up the heat this summer, and you won't want to miss a minute of exciting soccer action at Gillette Stadium. Tickets for the Revolution start at just $18 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
All right, back here in PFW Frogs. You know, speaking of Tecmo Bowl, we thought we'd let you listen in on a little bit of how Tom preps for the show here.
This TV is all set up, Gary. And it's costing me freaking points.
Shot, shot, Cleveland.
It's the shoddy electronical. Jesus. An $800 million stadium, and you got to hit that side of the TV.
I don't know if you know, but it is raining.
I like to play cover, too. Back to coverage with James Washington. Oh, damn it.
Oh, look at him go!
Kick it away. Oh, field goal, my ass. What is it, a 60 yarder?
Oh!
Should I call Eric to see if that was good?
What the heck? The guy's got a 45 inch vertical leap?
I can feel the heat down in my belly.
Right.
Isn't this illegal?
I can't believe how hot those are.
I can't believe how excited you are to eat swordfish. It's like $7.99 a pound.
And a can of bumblebee for $2.
If I run out of here screaming, you'll know why. Absolute fire.
Is that Hanford Dixon?
Uh-oh. How come they never covered him?
Too good, Fred.
That's being I'll be afraid to throw it into coverage.
True.
Excuse me. All right. So it's kind of like behind the scenes at PFW in progress.
Stay classy, PFW.
I like how we got my shot at Drew out there now.
Now you know why we like our job.
Drew. My goodness. All right.
How about the shot Tom took it? You know, the building.
Web radio at patriots.com. It's web radio
and
at
Fred,
patriots.com.
And Fred, we should mention that I use Skype this weekend.
And how was it?
Phenomenal. I can't believe it. It's free. You can talk to whoever you want.
See, you know, Tom, you need to listen to me a little bit more.
You know what Skype is?
I turned you on to iPods. Right. Now you can't live without them. I turned you on to Skype. Now you can't live without them.
We have the original Skype because
didn't
I remember
Andy
bringing that
Skype
up.
And you had no idea what it was.
No.
And
wait a minute. I know what Skype is.
He had never heard of it.
You know,
Gary had to look it up.
Liar. You know, I didn't know how it worked.
He had to look it up and explain it to you.
Yeah, because we wanted to know how you get it. Now, I know what Skype...
You might know now because I told you.
I don't know if Fred never heard of it. I had never heard of it.
He never heard of it.
I was making fun of it.
Do you honestly believe that,
yes.
Big Head?
Yes.
S-K-Y-P-E.
Now I know he's
there you go. I even know how to spell it.
Because I told you.
Well,
for those people out there, you can download it and talk with anybody you want for free. Don't ask me how. It doesn't cost any money. I don't know how the company makes money, but... You can do whatever you want. But the only thing is you get to see them. So, like, I have to put on clothes and stuff.
Okay.
You know, I don't like to do that.
You can probably turn that off.
Fred Andy's right. You didn't know.
Thank you.
I knew what Sky.
Thank
you. I'm just kidding.
You get all bent out of shit that you were paying for it.
Matt from Quincy writes, great show. I was down at the stadium the other day, as I am occasionally for meetings having to do with my job. As I'm leaving, who comes walking out of the elevator but Tom Casale? I thought about saying hi and telling him I was a fan of the show, but two things struck me immediately. One, he's a lot shorter than I thought he was from seeing him on TV. Two, he looks a lot more grumpy, make that angry in person. It occurred to me that he probably hadn't got his free food for the day yet. In the end, I took a pass, which is probably a good thing. I don't get the sense that Casale is a man of the people, and I don't need the aggravation of having security call to have me escorted from the building. What can I say? I need the job. Anyway, maybe someday I'll say hello and suffer the consequences, as I'm a big fan of the show, and besides, there's nothing funnier than when Casale gets pissed off.
I'm a man of the people. I would have said hi to you. I just don't smile a lot. Ask Paul's brother. I don't like to interact with people.
I wasn't like to talk to anyone.
So he must have seen you on TV and knew what you look like.
I don't like small talk. I don't like sitting in the elevator talking about the weather.
I
hate that
I have to agree
so
with that.
So I was probably looking down, so I wouldn't. You know what I do is when you walk out of the elevator, sometimes you see those people who work in other departments you don't want to talk to.
Right.
So I was looking down, so I wouldn't see anybody, and I was probably had a bad look on my face because I don't want to talk to anybody. You know, if you see
and
me,
you also
say,
don't
hi.
Like it when people stand right at the door.
Nobody likes that. It's called being rude.
That's just out and out rude.
Like, what do you think is going to happen when those doors open?
Right.
Seriously.
It's not like you got to jump in before it closes.
I'll tell
you
what. This douchebag probably ran into me. That's why I had a bad look on my face.
And you were coming from the gym. So you were all worked up.
Yeah.
Had a little pump going. You were ready.
Well, you're working out at noontime now? No?
You haven't noticed that?
I don't know. I thought you didn't like to use the showers there.
I hate the showers.
He doesn't. That's the odor in the afternoon.
That's not good, Tom.
I am not going to shower with those old men.
Yeah, but you got to clean yourself after you.
No kidding. I do. I just don't take a shower.
How do you do that then? What do you take a sponge bath?
Don't worry.
In my parts, they call it, no disrespect to the Portuguese, but a Portuguese shower. Little deodorant, little spray.
In my area, it's known as a Chelsea shower, but same.
In my area, we don't shower with those old men from that gym who
it
look
is
at
uncomfortable,
you.
Are afraid they're going to bend you over a table?
But Fred, you're an old man.
It's a weird situation.
Can you
situation.
Tell us why people have to walk from their locker to the shower with the towel just draped over their shoulder?
No, I can't tell you that.
Can you
do
tell
they
me,
do that
can
there?
Can you tell me why they shave naked?
They shave naked.
Can you tell me why they shave
stand
naked?
Stand there for 20 minutes naked.
Like Alain Bennis, I cook naked, I clean
another
naked.
Guy, you wrap a towel around.
Another guy yesterday took his shorts off. Went to the bathroom to blow his nose and then walked back with no pants or nothing on.
One guy was in the middle of the in the room for at least 20 minutes talking on his cell phone.
What the hell's going on there? It's like Caligula.
Some guy came out of the can the other day naked. I mean, put clothes on for Christ's sakes.
And you I haven't been there in a while, there. Obviously, but, you know.
I shower there, but I put a towel, wrap it around me, go to the shower, wrap myself up, walk back, put shorts on.
Right.
I don't understand these people. It's usually the older people.
Right.
I don't see a lot of young guys
people.
Doing it. Yeah,
I agree totally with you guys. I don't understand why anybody would do that, but I don't understand why that would discourage you from taking a shower. What do you
it's
think
disgusting.
They're going to do?
It's not
I
bad.
Agree.
No, you're
I shower.
I agree.
You're missing the point.
Yeah, but you're there anyway.
No, I'm not missing the point.
Me out.
I understand. Why can't you take a shower?
Don't
look at him.
I don't feel like it.
If it was Ben Watson, he'd be in the shower
it's
in a second.
It's not like you're eating a meal. You're taking a shower.
I
can see you losing your appetite.
Exactly. You two work out once in your life, then you can take all the freaking showers you want.
I took a million showers growing up with all the different sports that I played on. I was in the locker room. We take every guy... You know, didn't do that?
No, I did it when I was in the locker room. I don't want to shower with those old nuts.
I don't want to shower.
What do you mean by all that?
Literally.
But if they're young and good looking, you'll shower with them? I don't get it. Like I don't want to look at any
other
guy.
You have to soap them up, Tom. Just take a shower and
listen,
get out of there.
Those guys stay up there for hours, Fred. They never leave.
But you
it's
don't
weird
have to.
Stuff going on up there.
They're not
they shave, they brush their teeth, they're doing everything
up
there.
God forbid they shave, they brush their teeth.
Well, look at a gym, they're shaving at a gym?
You can
naked?
Shave with your shorts on or with a towel wrapped around you.
That's not weird to you. Walking into a thing, watching
yes,
a guy buck naked shave.
It is,
oh, not
it is
naked
weird
it
to
is,
me.
But it's not weird to shave and brush your teeth.
Well, look at
I mean,
Fred with
he
the jumbo
down
package.
Below, what's he going to be? Have his pants off?
No, I do think it's
no,
weird,
I agree with
but
that.
I don't understand why that would stop him from showering.
It's freaking me out. I want to get out of there
me.
As soon as possible.
I agree that it's weird, and I don't understand why anybody would do it.
When you go into the sauna, you take your clothes off?
I don't go into the sauna.
If you did, would you?
No, you have a towel on.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You have a towel on.
Well, look at Fred with the jumbo package.
Well, I can't help that.
Since we're on asides here, and Tom just brought up hating small chat, did I tell you guys about the plane ride either to or from Indy for the Combine? When I had the empty seat next to me, and Tom sits down with a guy, and I hear him behind me, and the guy says, so do you own or you rent? And every 5 minutes, I was laughing at the next question. Well, I'm in insurance myself.
Own or you rent? What kind of question is that?
Oh, you wouldn't shut up the whole freaking ride.
It was phenomenal.
I
say own or rent what?
I'm totally spoiled for all air travel for the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't go to the Combine.
Because of charter flights.
Because if you go to the Combine, you're not spoiled in that airfare.
I'm talking about charter flights that we take every week. I'm
talking about the puddle jumpers we take to Indy.
Oh, stop it.
Actually, this year was okay, wasn't
me.
It?
Yeah, it was the hotel that sucked.
That's right.
You'll still find
Embassy Not So Sweets. They're on my list with Wikipedia, crappiest companies in the world.
Let's see. Lenny LaPadula writes in, says, thanks for all your great radio shows. I always enjoy listening. I was reading about Gostkowski lately. This got me thinking about 4th-and-1 situations. Last year, Belichick decided to go for it a lot on 4th-and-1 and had a pretty good success rate. Do you think with the loss of Dillon, this will change and we will rely more on Gostkowski for field goals instead?
Nope.
No, I don't either.
I think they'll go for it on 4th-down
a lot. I think
if
Vinatieri was here, they would have done the same
thing. I agree.
Josh, Arlington, Virginia. Let me get this right. Andy A-hole Hart thinks the Broncos should be feared despite a quarterback who has done a whole lot of nothing to date, but he's writing off the Chargers because of coaching, despite them having arguably several of the best players on both sides of the ball.
Yep.
And you guys say we, the fans, say stupid, contradictory things. How is a capable quarterback any less important than a capable coach? Last time I checked, you can't win much of anything without having both.
Well, I don't agree with that.
How do we know that
Cutler
is incapable?
I'll actually say this. I'm on the other side of this argument from Tom and Andy. I think the Chargers are pretty good, but for their side of the argument, what did you know about Philip Rivers when he played last year before the first game?
But beyond that,
you knew less about him than you know right now about Jay Cutler.
And I think we've seen that coaching's pretty gosh darn important in the National Football League.
And it's not just the head coach.
They had bad coaching.
But it's not just that.
They still have bad coaching.
The head coach, they had coordinators and the
strength
guys behind the coordinators.
Strength coach, everybody.
But that's a lot to lose for one team.
I just think that's huge.
See, I don't think that Paul's – I'm not in the camp that thinks the Chargers are going to stink.
I don't
think there's going to be some close games that they may lose because they have a whole new staff in place. And, you know, I just don't know how that's going to work out for them. That's if it was just the head coach.
Look, there's no definitive end to the argument until the season unfolds. I don't know how it's going to end up either.
But wouldn't we agree that like Phillips and Cam Cameron, they were pretty good coordinators. So now I have to see like how are the coordinators going to be?
I got to tell you, I wasn't overly impressed with Cam Cameron's performance in that.
Oh, I wasn't
game.
In that game. No, that.
Well, I wasn't impressed with them as a team. I thought the linebacker.
I wasn't impressed with his.
Merriman
nobody
didn't show
up
to play.
Game.
But I'm not going to blame that on Wade Phillips because
I'm saying in general I wasn't impressed with them.
Tom and I were criticizing a little bit because we thought that Merriman was in coverage a little bit and we were wondering why. But he had more than ample opportunity to rush the pass. Yeah. Now if he spent the whole day dropping back like that's what they're going to expect us to do. We're going to use him as a decoy. Then I'd be ripping Wade Phillips. In my opinion, Cam Cameron, his play calling in that game, I thought left a lot to be desired. I don't think it was all Marty, even though I think some of it was Marty. I don't think it made any sense to have LT touch the ball as infrequently as he did in the second half. I wasn't overly impressed with the offensive coordinator in that game. So does that mean that they're better off with a whole new staff? Probably not. You guys are probably right. There's going to be an adjustment period there. But if it works and there's some decent coaching being done there, I think that team has got an awful lot to prove. And
you know who their defensive coordinator is.
And it's talented. Ted Cottrell, I believe.
Oh,
right?
Not a big fan of him.
Oh, they're done. I forgot
I
all about that.
I think he's a terrible coordinator.
Does he have a worse track record than Wade Phillips does?
I hate Ted Cottrell. I don't like him at all.
Ted Cottrell is a worse coordinator than Wade Phillips.
I don't think Wade Phillips is...
7 days a week and twice on Sunday.
I don't think Wade Phillips is anything.
I think Ted Cottrell is terrible.
Good coordinator.
I think Wade Phillips...
I think Wade Phillips is built to be a coordinator.
Pretty good
and, Paul,
coordinator.
Here's the problem I would have with the Chargers, just being in their locker room a couple times. They have, like, the biggest mouths, and guys like Cottrell and Norv Turner are kind of more the laid-back guys. I mean, I know Phillips is, too. It'll be interesting to see how that whole thing works out because they have the talent. On paper,
right. They're
as good as anybody.
I think they're going to have a tough time because I think their schedule is awfully difficult, but not necessarily for the
reasons
you guys
do. The Broncos side, though, you might be right. Cutler might not be the answer, and if he's not, they got no shot.
Right.
It all falls on Cutler.
Sure.
He has to have a good year.
Right.
And he's a little bit different than Rivers. Rivers is more the smart guy who doesn't take a lot of chances.
Well, however...
Cutler's the gunslinger.
Well, yeah.
So if he throws some interceptions and things like that early, mm-hmm. get his confidence down.
And that's going to be the key because, you know, Plummer did better when he started, you know, playing within Shanahan's system a little bit. You know, what's Shanahan going to do with Cutler? What's he going to expect out of him? Is he going to try to treat him like the Patriots treated Tom Brady that first year? I mean, Tom Brady didn't really win a lot of games his first year. He just managed the game well. What are they going to be looking for Cutler? It's going
to
be interesting.
I think they're going into this season expecting to win. I don't
think absolutely.
They think
I agree with
a
Andy.
Transition
I think
or a phase. This is to win.
My liking of the Chargers has nothing to do with a dislike of the Broncos. I think the Broncos have had a strong offseason. I think they've added a solid running back. They've added a couple of nice pieces on defense. I think that they are an improved team over what I thought was a decent roster last year that kind of got worn down as the season went on. But I think... You know, I don't think anybody thinks that the Broncos stunk last year because they were a non-playoff team. Talent-wise, they were pretty good.
We were praying that they didn't play the Patriots in the
And the
playoffs.
Quarterback, I think, got some valuable experience, and now he's not going in cold.
Right.
He enters year two with at least, you know, what, 5, 6, 7 starts under his belt? How many starts? He started the
at
last
least.
Half of the year,
yeah.
right? So, you know, he goes into year two that much stronger than how he would have had he not played at all. I think there's a chance that the Broncos could be, you know, I think one of the previous emailers said an 11-win team. I think that's certainly within the realm of possibility. I think that division's pretty tough. I think they have three teams that are pretty good and one that stinks, whereas most teams are the other way around. You know, I mean, most divisions are the other way around.
A little down on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the Chiefs are that good, but they're no pushover. Oakland's a pushover.
Yeah, there's no question the Chiefs are not in Oakland.
Especially at home. The Chiefs are always going to be tough.
Right.
You know, I think the AFC North
is
very similar.
If I see Brody Croyle on the field starting, I think a lot less of the Chiefs.
And I think the AFC North is similar. I think you have Cleveland that's you know, somewhat of a pushover. And then you have Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh that are probably three decent teams. Maybe one of those turns out to be a great team. Last year, Baltimore was an excellent team. I personally didn't think much of them, but the record spoke for itself. They were very good.
Let's see. Owen says, Tom for High King of Ireland. He's from Belfast. He says, just wondering.
Once again, the drunks continue to love Tom.
Just wondering.
In Bogota,
what...
they're high on cocaine in freaking Ireland.
Bogota?
Isn't that Colombia?
Bogota.
Bogota. It's
what
in
is
Colombia.
It? What is, I'm just surrounded.
Cocaine
just...
in Colombia and Guinness in Ireland. People just... with drug and alcohol habits love Tom.
So when a gambling problem, and you got him.
Exactly.
Just wondering what you guys thought of Richard Seymour's play last year. Do you guys think his injury affected him? I hear he's looking good this year from my inside sources.
That was us.
What do you guys think?
Wait a minute. Your inside sources was us.
Thanks, guys. Tom rocks. P.S. Why does Andy still have a job? He's such an idiot. Just kidding, Andy. The show wouldn't be the same without you. However, I'm coming over this summer to watch training camp, and I'm going to fine you and give you an ass-whooping. So if you begin to smell a strong stench of alcohol and potatoes in Foxborough this summer, you better start running.
Just let Tom and I know when that ass-whooping's going to come, because I really want to watch that.
We'll be in that big tent.
I'm the one with a shaved head.
You'll know which one Andy is because you won't be able to miss that head.
Yeah, and you'll be hearing his mouth running a mile a minute.
Probably.
Making fun of anyone from media relations.
Media relations.
Casey, shouldn't you be doing your job instead of sitting there drinking Gatorade?
What was the question in there? Richard Seymour, did he have a down year?
What did you think of his season last year?
Unremarkable.
I thought he was quiet. Yeah.
Unremarkable.
He was quiet.
Good,
Tom was the first
great.
One. See, I give you credit too, Tom. Tom was the first one on that bandwagon. He was not making the plays that we had been accustomed to seeing in the past. Ty Warren had a better year.
Now we know he was hurt. Right?
Do we?
Didn't he have knee surgery?
Yeah, but, like, isn't that kind of a normal thing for a lot of football players?
No.
Have surgery in the offseason?
Knee surgery is a pretty big deal when you're a big guy like that. I put that a little, I mean, anything that's supporting his 315-pound frame, big deal.
But is that, I mean,
yep.
Do you know when he got hurt?
Nope. I assume it's earlier than when I found out, so I'm going to, I like Richard Seymour, and I'm going to say he
was
banged up
all year.
What if I
told you he twisted his knee in San Diego?
Clearly, it was a result of something that had been lingering all season long.
He got hurt against the Colts.
Yeah, but I think it had been bothering him earlier. I have no way to prove this. I'll ask Bill.
Well, he left the AFC.
I know he left the AFC.
We'll still
I thought
no
that
way.
Was his ankle.
I don't know what it was, but he got
no,
hurt.
He hurt his ankle in Indy.
See, this is what happens, and it's not. I'm not making. Don't get all defensive, Fred, because I'm not making fun of anybody. But when you have as little injury information as we get, you know, as recently as 6 months ago, we have no idea what an injury was, when it happened. We have no idea.
That's what they want you to.
Exactly. That's why I said I'm not making fun of anybody. Right. That's why I didn't want you to get all defensive
on
me.
They want me
like
to
usually.
Speculate. Okay, he broke his leg in week two.
They don't want you to. They don't
guy's
want you
an
to
Iron
speculate.
Man.
As long as
they
can say that's not what happened, that's all they want.
They don't want you to speculate. They don't want any talk about injuries, period. That's what they want.
Yeah, they don't always get what they want.
That's true.
Let's see, Matt from Springfield. Sorry, guys, but these idiots sending you guys food should be castrated. I do envy you guys. I mean, come on. You guys have dream jobs, getting paid to cover Patriot football, while at this very moment I'm losing money for electricity while my computer's running on Comcast Internet. I turned down fellatio from Pam Anderson for that deal. On second thought, maybe not.
Whoa.
It's just that my dad taught me the value of the dollar, and that does not include sending food to people I've never met, unless, of course, they're pot-belly kids from Cambodia. This is a shot.
Why are you sending food to them?
This is a shot
never
to listeners,
them.
Not you guys.
Paul's pot-belly.
But I hope you guys get food every week. Milk these idiots. On the other hand, you guys rock, and Tom has some of the most insightful comments I've heard from anyone, period. He should get a job at ESPN, but clone him first so he could still be at PFW.
It's a little early in the show for that kind of.
So do you drink or do you do cocaine or both?
See, this is where Paul and Andy can't stand it when they praise Tom.
That's right. They exactly. You're right.
Eat him up, Fred. Eat him up.
Eat him up. It's a little early in the show for that kind of praise for Tom. Usually that only happens in the last 10 minutes when he tells Patriots fans how great they are.
16-0, baby. I'm with you.
These guys are just frauds. They can't stand it.
Eric from Manchester, New Hampshire, one of the hosts on NFL Radio said...
Is it Eric with a C or with a K?
With a C.
So it's just, the right way.
Just wondering.
I thought the right way was with a K.
No, I don't like that way.
What do you mean you don't like it?
I don't like it. Rubs me the wrong way.
People around here spell it.
There's only one person around here who spells it that way. Alexander spells it the right way.
One of the hosts
He's a real football
on NFL Radio said...
He's coming across the table any minute.
One of the hosts on NFL Radio said, baseball is America's pastime, football is America's passion. Personally, I agree. I can drive 50 miles and watch the Sox at Fenway and haven't gone to one game this year. But as soon as camp opens in Foxborough, I'm heading down to watch practice.
Practice?
Do you guys agree football is now America's number one sport?
I think it's safe to say
Without a doubt.
Yes.
Paul?
I agree that it's America's number one, just not Boston's.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And I don't want to start that whole fight that you and I have at least three times annually.
West Welker stinks.
What do you consider Boston?
Oh, God.
New
this
England.
Is how he fights.
New England, I disagree.
All of New England. No, baseball is still number one.
I disagree with that.
Is Vermont part of New England?
Whatever
according to ratings?
Sellouts.
According to what?
According to passion.
Vermont. Well, how do you...
People care more about the Red Sox than anything.
Based on what? Ratings on TV?
Based on my opinion, Fred. That's all.
Okay.
Based on everything.
Based on having eyes and ears.
Well, because you read the Globe and it's owned by, they own the Red
Sox.
Where
did I go to school? Vermont?
Yeah.
Okay. Trust me. They care way more about the Red Sox.
But that was back a long time ago.
It was 3 years ago.
He just graduated.
It was after they had won three Super Bowls.
He just finished.
In Fred's defense, I don't really think he read my resume.
Ryan writes in, is Patriots Today part of New England Patriots podcast lineup? Also, when will Patriots video podcast go up? That might finally get me tuning into the Patriots cheerleader chit-chat. The downside is that I may have to look at Andy Hart's giant head on PFW in Progress. Well,
screw you.
Patriots video podcast, you can download Patriots Today right now.
As a podcast?
Yeah, sure. It's a podcast is a downloadable file. Okay. I mean,
so it'll play on a night on an
And the Cheerleader Chit Chat is once a month they do a video one that you can download.
Hey now.
So
I know who's downloading that.
But Patriots Today will be a nightly half-hour show starting the first week of the regular season. So,
okay, good.
You'll be able to download that or watch it nightly.
When are we going to be on video podcasts like Mike and Mike?
I don't know. Do we really want that?
I don't think we really want that.
No. I don't. I'm just saying.
I don't.
You know?
I don't want all those Irish drunks putting a picture with my voice.
Boy, am I glad I called that guy.
Let's see.
The Colombians, I was just kidding. You guys could really do something.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Salt from Orlando. I know it's getting slow for football-related news lately, except for news about Michael Vick or Pac-Man Jones, but I'm getting tired of hearing about those guys. I have had a question that I didn't want to ask during regular season because it probably wasn't relevant, but since it's postseason and slow, it might be okay now. What is your opinion of how NFL Europe counts for field goals? 50-plus yards is 4 points. Anything under is 3. I always thought it was good enough to adapt in the NFL because it would bring more strategy to the game. We talked about that a little earlier.
I think if you – and I said it jokingly earlier, but I'm kind of serious about it. I think if you took it a step further and made, say, inside 40 or maybe 35 – only 2 points, I think it would be even better, because I think like what Tom was talking about, you would get more teams actually going for it on fourth down rather than, and I think those are exciting plays, fourth down.
I do too. The 4 points for a long field goal I'm not sure about, because now you're getting really close to 6 points you get for actually crossing the goal line, and you're 45 yards away.
And the other thing too that is kind of like is kind of dangerous when you have an actual line. How do you go, you know, we know, you know, by statistics, you go by where the ball is spotted, right? So now can you say, let's just say that we're at whatever yard line, the 34-yard line. Can you move your holder back a yard? It's the, you know what I'm saying? So it's making sure that it's, you get that extra point, even though you're talking about the difference of
yeah,
very negligible.
Yeah, I don't think it'll work. No, we don't want it.
I don't want field goals, period. I want to eliminate that. But it's kind of hard to eliminate all the kicking from football.
Because they're the most important players on the team.
Right, just ask Eric.
And what would Eric do? We'd have to fire him.
Go on vacation.
Even when he doesn't have any vacation.
That's what he does anyway.
Dave Thomas is running back, says Rob. I've been hearing through the grapevine that Dave Thomas may be our starting fullback this season just to get him out on the field with Watson and Kyle Brady as our main tight ends. It does make sense if you want your best players on the field. What do you think? And P.S., Tom, marriage is just a state of mind, and I can tell you've already lost yours.
That's true.
Am I the only one that's never heard that?
I was going to say, speaking of losing your mind, where have you heard that?
No, I don't know where he's heard it, but it's just where people, you know, Daniel Graham, was he your starting fullback most of the time?
No.
Because he was going in motion and blocking from a fullback position. So if that's what they're considering, but I also don't think it would be Dave Thomas. I think it would be Kyle Brady, who would be going in motion, filling the bulk of the blocking, quote-unquote, roles.
Right, and generally the Patriots do not employ a fullback. Right. Now, occasionally they do, but for the most part they don't. Yeah. I don't see Dave Thomas being that type of guy anyway. He's a smaller guy who I think is more
agile. They don't have that guy on the roster. If you want a fullback, they don't have him on the roster.
And I was going to say, speaking of
fullbacks. No, I mean like a tight end that could
serve.
No,
I know, but
you know,
this
like
guy's
Graham.
Talking about a real fullback. I don't think Dave Thomas could be a real fullback. I don't think Garrett Mills could be a real fullback. I don't think
Heath Evans
is probably as close as you can get.
But he's not.
I agree
a running back.
I agree with you. He's a running back and a fullback.
He's my kind of fullback. You take a guy who couldn't make it as a running back and you turn him into a fullback.
I was going to mention Heath Evans. I was reading somewhere where they said, now we don't need Corey Dillon, by the way, because he's gone. Okay. They don't need Dillon because he was getting old. And besides, Heath Evans will do the short yardage running instead. He's the worst short yardage runner I've ever seen.
Boom!
I think.
They bounced down.
What is he, 0-for-11 since he's been here on like third or fourth? And he's terrible. So
he's
I don't think that's going to. I'd rather have Maroney, Sammy Morris do that kind of stuff.
I'd rather just stick with Maroney on short yardage until he proves that
he
struggles in that department. Then you look for plan B. Otherwise, I want the ball in his hands as often as possible.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I was fanning the room with the door, Gary. You put the door stop on.
He's letting cold air now just flow in.
Have the door open for you.
Is it cold air in there?
It's cooler in there than it is in here, no question.
Even with all that equipment you got in there? Oh, it's not on.
Well, the solitaire game is on.
It's a 4-hour show.
Josh from Arlington, Virginia. I'll give the Broncos
about another 15 minutes.
I'll give the Broncos 9-7, but saying top three in the AFC, no way. Thanks, Paul. By the way, I was getting ready for work this morning and thinking of what I had to look forward to while listening to distract myself at work today. Naturally, I thought of listening to PFW and remembering the Paul solo show still gives me shivers. It's funny that someone else mentioned that earlier.
So what happened last week? Why it was an open just with your name in it?
Yeah,
it's the one with Paul Perillo. Paul Perillo.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Was scared somebody.
People started sweating.
Let's see. He also says, tell that idiot who wrote in about the food that once he makes more than $8 an hour, he might be able to understand throwing away $40 on lunch for someone who provides great weekly entertainment. Quit the drive-thru at McDonald's, follow through on that GED, and get a real job. You guys are great. Wow, thanks. Who's someone this? Else bashing another listener.
A lot of listener on listener crime.
Listener crime, yes. We love it. We love it. Ken Rosenthal says, if you can break away from your mutual character assassination, Tom's favorite activity, I'd like to make a couple of comments on the points you made when actually lapsing into football talk. It's one of these guys.
I love the guys that chastise us. Right. Try to tell us what we're supposed to be doing.
But you know what you can do? You cannot listen.
Right.
There's always that option.
Yeah, just don't call them any names.
One, consider this. Here is a list of players the Pats will have available in the back seven this season that weren't available for the second half of the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, Harrison, it was really hot,
Hawkins,
too.
Wilson, Gay, Thomas, Merriweather, and James. Those are eight quality football players who would greatly improve the Pats' back seven defensive situation.
They're throwing that term quality around.
As starters, depth, and or situational
those
defense.
Guys might not be available when it comes down to it again this season with Rodney Harrison and Eugene Wilson and Randall Gay and guys that have been hurt every year for the last 3 years.
Don't forget it was hot inside the dome,
well, that's true, and they spiked the water.
And they were sick because of Fred.
Right. Well, that part actually is true.
And they had to go to San Diego the week before.
That's true.
That was the NFL out to get them again.
Two, says Ken, much of the talk about potential Patriots weaknesses have focused on the linebacking position and more so on its depth. I was as concerned as the rest until it occurred to me that my concern should be mitigated by the fact that increasingly the role of the linebacker is being diminished by the rise of the spread no-huddle offense. More and more, the number of plays that the linebacker, especially the inside linebacker, has decreased as they are being substituted for various defensive back packages.
Well, I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of sub packages that the linebackers come out, extra DBs go in. But that's been the same for how long?
A long time now.
The five wide receiver thing became really big in the NFL in 97, 98, maybe. So it's not like a new phenomenon where linebackers are leaving the field in passing situations. So I don't see where this is a big difference from last year in that regard.
Three, he says, I forced myself to watch the second half of the championship game. Believe it, it wasn't easy. Here are some comments I'd be interested in hearing your comments. A, I was correct in my original gut feeling that Peyton Manning was the real culprit of the Pats' demise. His ability to make the key third down plays was dramatic. Many of those passes were completed under severe pressure, with several knockdowns occurring on completed passes. Sometimes it just isn't the defense's fault when it's good offensive execution. Well, I think we talked about that earlier.
I agree with that. I thought Manning was excellent.
B, at the same time, I was kind of surprised how well the defense played, given who was in there for most of the time. Baker, Alexander, Wright, Banta, Kane. Given the carnage.
Most of the time?
That's what he said.
I disagree with
given
that.
Given the carnage, you forgot how many times the Pats took the Colts to third down and how long those drives were. They were literally battles of attrition that, in the end, the Pats lost because of a multiple of reasons already discussed. When you think about
it, like saying we hit a lot of foul balls.
When you think about it, fatigue was another critical factor, especially when you consider how well the Pats defense did in the first half. This is a perfect segue to the new conspiracy theory we should promote. I propose that the diabolical evil GM of the Colts was pumping in hot air to raise the temperature of the dome, adding to the woes of the undermanned, flu-ridden, jet-lagged Patriots. Many commented on how hot it was in there. How come? It was winter outside, and the dome is supposed to be temperature controlled. I demand an immediate investigation.
Well, I think the plane trip actually has. Can I assume that he's only kidding?
Yeah, he's only kidding.
All right.
The trip from I think Belichick has said this. The San Diego game took a lot out of him.
Oh, absolutely. It took a lot out of us, and we all did was watch the game.
So I think that is more likely why they kind of I don't think the heat had much to do, although it was damn hot in there.
One thing he's not kidding about.
Always hot. Do you guys remember the Monday night game in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Do you remember how hot it was that night?
It was hot in there.
That was the best Patriots performance of the year. Of course, you know, Minnesota plays cover two. I don't know if you know. That's what we do. We just play cover two.
Yeah.
domes tend to get warm.
Especially
as small domes like Indianapolis's.
Well, remember even the Super Bowl when they played in Texas. It was so
humid. Oh, God. That's a great
guys
point.
Guys were slipping all over
it
the place.
It was so hot and humid in there, the grass was even affected. You're
especially
right.
For those of us sitting actually right underneath the roof.
River.
The worst seat in the house. I don't know if you know, heat rises.
One thing Ken's not kidding around is the lack of a call on the Caldwell play in the end zone still baffles me, especially given the call against Hobbs that went in the Colts' favor. This guy actually pushes Caldwell with both hands well before the ball gets to him. So how was it not interference? It is not surprising that the NFL Network never shows just one quick replay and tries to ignore any controversy.
Can't argue with that, on that one. That was interference. Yeah. But I also thought the Hobbs one was interference.
I'm still confused about the Hobbs call. At first, I had no problem with it because it was a clear example of face guarding. No contact was made. Then it comes out that there is no rule against face guarding. So what's up? This should help your
last hour
keep you from insulting any more of your colleagues.
No, that won't help.
Insult you.
But he will. There was contact, however slight, on that play, and when you're in that position, you're going to get called. I thought the Caldwell one absolutely was interference.
But isn't it kind of funny?
Richay Caldwell should have been. Should have gotten a pass interference.
He clearly saw the game, right?
He probably did the same thing.
That's
you guys
what I'm saying. And Tom and I come away raving about positives, how well Asante Samuel played, and we're still whining about a call here and a. Can't you just enjoy the fact that it was one of the greatest football games you will ever see, and both teams made plays?
I understand what you're saying, but it's hard to use that word, can't enjoy. That was a tough
but it was
game
a great
lose.
Game.
It was.
But you wanted the Colts to win.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
See, no, I didn't.
See,
my
Fred,
wife
that's
did.
That's their problem, Fred. That's their problem. They don't look at it and see how close they were.
Right. One thing I will say for Paul is
he was chest bumping Bill Polian.
He enjoys good sports when it happens, and he recognizes it. You
didn't I just say it was the greatest football game I've ever seen?
I would say the two best games that I could arguably say I've ever seen, but certainly in the time that I've worked for you, Fred, is the Super Bowl against Carolina and that game, the AFC Championship game. Two of the greatest sporting events I've ever seen.
Patriots fans acknowledge one because the Patriots won that one.
Right. No, but the other one was a conspiracy.
Paul enjoys it for the pure athletic competition. You enjoyed it because the team you wanted to win won.
Fred, but I'm also emotionally attached.
Because you hate the
Don't
Patriots.
Just say
well, in general, I do like to win.
Right.
We got that out of the way a couple years ago when I said I predicted the Broncos to win and I'd rather be right.
Right.
But I like good sports.
You hear that, Patriots fans? Tom, this is your. We got like 7 minutes left. So
this is
the
around
time
the time. See, Tom,
you
notice how quiet
yourself.
Tom has been?
He's changing. He went into the
pretty soon he's
going to
go
booth and
4 yards, Andy. You know how small 4 yards? They were 4 yards away.
I think it was a great game. I think the emailer was actually correct when he said no, but it was just a lot of great plays from both teams,
right.
And the Colts made a couple more of them.
But I just think there is too much, and here's where I agree with Andy. I think, and I'm not necessarily attacking Ken, but I think there's too much on the part of the Patriots fans, too much of an emphasis on the conditions and all that with you know, from San Diego to Indy to the heat to the sickness to all of that stuff to the injuries and not enough credit being given to the fact that, sure, all of that was in place, but Indy had to almost be perfect.
Right.
For 32 minutes, they had to be near perfect, and they were.
And just
and
like
that's
the
only way they could have won the game.
Like I forgot about all the you're watching that and you offensive linemen are scoring here and there and just
it's
like the weird little quirky plays
and Bruschi almost got that fumble
right
the one that Saturday scored it was right there it's and Bruschi dives to get it
it's almost like a movie where you say this script has a little they
it
put
was
a
too,
little too much
yeah,
stuff
it was,
in
it was
there.
Too schmaltzy
it's a little too much
and to add to the whole thing to add to all of that drama
some people have said that was the greatest moment of their lives.
But you add into that the fact that Manning was playing against so much more than just the Patriots.
That's true.
Because of all of the failures.
That's true.
Now look at the difference in how you perceive, and I shouldn't even say you, how Peyton Manning in general is perceived.
Right.
If you've read it once, you've read it 100 times this offseason. I would have had Brady at the top of this list, or I would have made this closer, but now we can put to rest that whole thing. Is Manning just about stats? Now he's won. It's all because of one unbelievable half of football. The rest of the postseason, he played very average.
Can you
but
imagine,
in that second half, he was on another
can
planet.
Can you imagine if the Patriots had been able to hold on and won that game?
It would
game,
have been another one. Right?
Everybody would have looked at that first half when he throws the interception.
Absolutely, and rightly so.
Right. Well, they were all there. He tripped down. He fell down in the backfield.
Well, that's the one I thought was going to be his lasting impression. The second to last possession, we're on second down, I think, he fell down.
Right.
And before that, when he hurt his hand on the helmet, and he tells Jim Sorgi to be ready.
And then Brady's playing, and he's got his face down. He's, like, covering his face, and he's, like, can't even watch.
Oh, that was after they took the lead.
No, I know.
Couldn't even bear to watch the game.
There were aspects of the old Manning sprinkled in the winner,
man. And that's like an enormous amount. He was playing against so much more than just the Patriots. That's why I think that the Patriots.
Why
only,
you were so happy when he went? When he
well,
won?
I'm not the one that was chest bumping Bill Polian.
Yeah, you were.
Fred saw you.
I actually had a seat in the press box. You were sitting with Bill Polian.
I have nothing but contempt for Bill Polian. Nothing but contempt.
That's not true. Now you're just lying.
Anyway, I hate the guy. I hate him, and I don't say that.
Go
about
one
a lot
step
of people.
Further.
I want to see him dead?
No, use the words you've used on this show before. I believe it's despicable.
He is a despicable human being.
Colts are calling. Chris Ferreira, could you work on editing that out of the show?
Anyway, I thought, like you guys said, that I think there's too much emphasis put on, Rashad Baker was in the defensive backfield. I don't care who was in the Patriots' defensive backfield.
Right.
Peyton Manning was not going to be denied.
Sean Mayer was in the defensive backfield when they were winning the Carolina game that was so great.
Right.
The only thing that changes the view in Patriots fans' mind is the final outcome. And I understand that as a fan, but still, can't you
I
see
thought the
it?
Carolina game was even
Isn't
better.
There a little distance now
to
where
be
you can
honest
say,
with
wow,
you.
That really was a great game.
It was a great game.
Because the Carolina game, the lead kept changing hands in the fourth quarter. That's right. What made that a little bit better. And plus, it you get a little bit higher level because it was the Super Bowl, not just the AFC title game.
I get a higher level because I was sitting
chest bumping Bill
42,000 feet above sea level in the final row of the stadium.
That day you were making love with John Fox.
When did I make love with John Fox?
That when you were 8,000 miles above sea level.
No, the week before I fell in love with John Fox as a coach, and I've since realized over the last 3 or 4 years that he's a terrible coach.
Why is that?
I don't know, because he's got a talented team that never wins.
Yeah, I think there's some other factors there. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition.
The hell does that mean? You got insiders at the Panthers?
That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back next Wednesday to fill your Patriot talk needs.
Tom.